Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake Gibb. You're in the net live.
This is Taiba Hanif Park, and you are in the net live.
Aloha, this is Mike Lambert, and you are in the net live.
Loy Ball, and you're on the net live.
Ryan Malar, you're in the net live.
Hey, this is Heather Ballin, and you're live in the net. Nope, that was totally wrong.
Hey, this is Karch Kira, and you're in the net live with Willie and Barney.
Here, here. Monday, November 29th, The Net Live here on thevolleyballnetwork.com. Thanks for joining us from sunny but cold Southern California. This is The Net Live from the Redondo Beach home court. Dieter's petting the cat. He's sitting in the sun. It's a beautiful day to be doing this show. Dieter, thanks for showing up again. We know you've been busy making money, paying the bills, buying Curious George DVDs.
I do miss the show when I'm not here.
You just don't feel like you've talked enough volleyball, do you? You feel like you haven't gotten it out of
here. I feel an emptiness inside, and I'm now buying Toy Story DVDs because Millie hasn't moved on completely from George, but Toy Story in the number one slot as the number one seed moving into December, and she turned 3 yesterday, and it was a birthday, so happy birthday, Millie. Chargers won. I worked the Laker games. Great day. Lakers lost.
Good
kind
for
of a
you.
Damper on it.
Good for you. I watched Toy Story 3 this weekend, matter of fact.
Did you really?
Movie night at my mom's.
For the
back
seventh
on
time, I saw it this morning, 7 a.m. And glad to see you smiling, Barney, because when I walked in the house today, grumpy Barney.
Yeah. I got to pick it up for the show, though. I was getting ready for the show,
it's
going.
It's weird. I'm like, God, who pissed in his cornflakes this morning?
I had to clean the cat box so it didn't stink here in the home court. Yeah.
It couldn't have been Reed because he's in Siberia.
No, but he's got a hard line. He's not on Wi-Fi here. He's relying on Russian hard line wiring. We'll see how that works. Reed, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here. I'm going to watch how I communicate, seeing as how your mother has, you know.
Yeah, she wants no more ers, you knows.
Can I jump in and say that?
Gene Tordella.
Okay. Delivered a blow, and Barnett relayed that, guys, just before we went on the air. I mean, Reed's in his room. He's getting ready for the show, and he's like, yeah, by the way, my mom is just not happy with you and your uhs and ums, and you're on her list. And, I mean, just crushing Reed 6 seconds before we go on the air.
Hey, the guy makes like $1 billion a year. He's got a gold medal that he wears everywhere. Got to do something to bring him down to earth. I mean, he's comfortable with this pressure.
Great job. Yeah. I actually agree.
Well, hey, for the program today, we're glad Reed is going to join us for a little while, give us an update on the international scene and some of the goings-on with players there. We've got Geeter here. We're going to talk NCAA tournament. That has to be topic number one, Selection Sunday. Yesterday, the brackets announced all kinds of controversy. People are upset. Volley Talk Board's going nuts.
It's worse than college football.
Unimaginable.
NCAA seedings for women's volleyball.
Unimaginable. Actually, college got a little bit of a reprieve with Boise going down. We'll talk about that. We've got a couple of few great interviews coming here. We've got intern Alex going to stop by and talk about the A-Sun this year. Her team once again qualifying automatically out of the A-Sun. She's MVP of the tournament. Big
That's
deal.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Alex loves her some Alex.
Yeah. That's okay. Yeah. I'm comfortable with that. I love
I like
me
that.
Some
We're
me.
Talking about her.
You love you some you.
And you know what? I miss us. I did. I did these past 2 weeks.
We've got Grayson Dubose from Utah State, whose team finished up on a high note and qualified for the tournament. Got him coming on to talk, and we got the underdog and the overdog.
Absolutely. And, Holly and Dave coming on?
Holly and Dave. I don't know about Dave. I hope he's coming on, but I know Holly for sure will be here to talk about the tournament. She was on the selection show yesterday.
Yes. I did not see it.
I missed it also. I meant to tape it, but I couldn't program it on my TiVo. You couldn't find it. I was out of town.
It was on ESPN News.
Yeah, see, I don't know if they identify their shows very well. Yeah. So I kept searching for it on my TiVo remote control. You can program it from your phone.
Kind of busy yesterday. 27 3-year-olds painting in my house.
Ooh.
Had no time for Selection Sunday.
Permanent paint?
My wife. I don't know if you guys watched the show Dexter, but I felt like Dexter Morgan yesterday. I mean, the house was like, you know, the sheets all over the walls and on the floor so nothing would splatter. And I was like, are we killing someone today? Like,
hopefully
you
didn't tape Millie down to a table.
And the amazing thing when you have a birthday party and your wife's telling you the itinerary and what's going to happen, it goes in one ear and out the other. And then when it starts to happen, you're like, honey, what are we doing? She's like, I've talked to you about this 37 times.
I'm surprised you weren't emceeing the event. You weren't working
I did, because my mom, Lil, God bless her, made the trip with Papa Joe, and they got her a stand-up microphone. This thing is better than karaoke, and Millie already has mad skills on the microphone, like Robbie the Sparrow.
Yeah, nice.
I saw Robbie on the mic last week at the CIF Championship game. We digress.
I had a nice conversation with Rob on Facebook this week because he put up the play from Oklahoma State where the player jumped out of bounds.
Great play.
Threw the ball back in.
I mean, do you ever see that in football?
Oh, that was amazing.
We didn't see it because he's in Siberia, but it was one of the great plays in all of I mean, who thinks of that?
A volleyball player. That's about it.
Think that guy played volley? What? He played club volley in Oklahoma?
It was a great, just absolutely great play, and I put up on Rob's Facebook where he had that posted. I said, thank goodness there was no Karch reference.
Every single time there's a volleyball reference, knee sport, basketball, football, water polo, it's Karchy.
Jim Rome, it's Karch.
Yeah.
Every single time.
When are they going to say that guy just prettied the ball?
Well, it's funny you say that because I got an email from my dad saying he was at some hotel running on the treadmill and there was a Dwight Howard swatted a ball away, and he said there was a Clay Stanley reference.
Whoa!
And then
hold on.
And then I tweeted it out, though, and was like, hey, can anybody send me the audio of that? I want to get it. And sure enough, Andy Hine responds. And he's like, actually, it was Karch. So I don't know if my dad was just wishful thinking or what.
Dude, that's a funny story.
We got to stop that train. I'm tired of that train. I caught some grief on the Facebook from one of Rob's other people there who said he played an indoor tournament with Karch recently and he still got it. Great. Great. He's playing indoor tournaments with amateurs. Can we get a professional reference, please, beyond Karch? Yeah, the ball.
You know what? Hold
Stanleying
on.
The ball, that would
a
be great.
A male reference, because the female, I have heard them say a Misty or a Carrie. I have said, look like Carrie Walsh on that, look like Misty May. I have heard that. But any like male sport, it's usually a card drop.
Usually? I've never heard
100%.
Another one. Yeah, I've
but
never
I'm just
heard
saying, once in a while you get a Misty or a Carrie drop in there.
And I got, he's a Babe Ruth of volleyball, and he'll always do that. I'm like, you don't hear about Babe Ruth. Nobody says, oh, I crushed that one like Ruth. You don't hear that every time. I mean, if we hit the home run, we're not hearing about Gehrig. I mean, it's just, come on now. We're hearing about the current stars. That's what I want.
Yeah, the way he rounds the bases reminds me of Lou Gehrig.
Yeah.
You don't hear that.
No.
Dude, first of all, Karch is not as old as Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth, dude. Karch is 49.
Boy, really?
Hey, CSCU on 34 on the chat board is confirming that it was Clay Stanley. Heard it himself. There you go. Times are changing, boys.
Are you sure?
I want the audio clip to prove it, but
is there a little jealousy from you, Reed?
No, no way, man. Anytime that
I'm kidding. God.
Yeah, no way. I'm into it.
I just like all the signs that people put up when they come to events for pretty.
That spike was pretty. How many times?
Not a lot of originality out there.
Well, it's your sisters mostly that have those signs up. So
pretty.
Hey, we had Mark Rosen on the show last week. We have Steve Shondell.
Cal State Northridge alum, Mark Rosen.
I'm sad you weren't here to bring that up, so we could have talked about that. So we talked about his wife, one of the 50 greatest athletes from Alaska.
And by the way,
love that.
They are a tandem coaching team.
Yeah, that's interesting.
The Rosens, yeah.
I thought he had some great things to say. Did you get a chance to listen to our show?
He had my libero from a few years ago. He's been to the Elite Eight. He's done a nice job there.
He's got a real team.
I hear everything.
A real university.
Do.
But I just thought that last week's interviews, those two guys were really great.
Smart.
No matter what level you're at,
smart
to hear what those guys have to say about coaching, it's helpful. If you're a junior's coach,
absolutely,
if you're a college coach, junior college, doesn't matter. I think they really had some good things to say. I don't know, Reed, you want to reflect on that at all? Did you have time to listen to that, or were you too busy listening to instructions in Russian?
I was too busy getting kicked off the internet from your mom because she was just sick of hearing about all my us and us. But they were both great interviews, and I like the shout-out to Phil Etherton. Being the best guy to leave Ball State. That was great.
Somewhere Greg Romano is so mad.
I know we could do this all day, but I just have to read one thing on the message board. Let it go, Barney. People are still talking about how many Jordan would score on today's players.
No, not the same.
It's not
the same.
They,
no.
They do still do that, though.
Absolutely, he gets mentioned. And absolutely,
you're okay with that because
absolutely
from Chicago.
Karch should get mentioned.
Okay.
But he is not the first name out of people's mouths. You don't hear Jordan every time you hear about basketball. Who do you hear about? There's half a dozen other guys.
With Karch getting 90% of them, just not all of them.
No, I'm not okay with that. I'm not okay with Karch getting any of those references about spiking that ball like Karch. Karch doesn't spike the ball anymore. Okay? He's not spiking like Karch. If he was spiking like Karch, he'd be standing on a box hitting at someone over the net, you know? That's Karch spiking.
Listen. Compromise. 50-50. Karch gets 50%.
That would be progress.
Okay.
I want him run off entirely.
Kevin.
No, from the current conversation.
Okay.
I'm not hating on Karch.
Okay.
I've said this before. I think Karch should be in the discussion if you're talking about the history of volleyball, the reference point for someone else.
Greatest of all time.
Right. I don't want
conversations like that.
I don't want to hear his name by itself.
The GOAT.
If we're talking about Pretty and we talk about comparisons to Karch, great.
I'm fine.
We talk about Stanley, we talk about comparisons to Karch, great. I'm totally on board. The problem is we haven't moved someone into that position.
Gotcha.
We're never talking about Pretty. We're always talking about freaking Karch.
God, I love when you're angry.
So we got to stop that. So I love it. He's absolutely in the conversation. The guy's the best player in the last century. He's got 3 gold medals. He's the man when it comes to that stuff. But you got to fill that space currently with somebody else.
And I'm having Craig Buck in the office later to see if he wants to be on that team. Okay? Still butts along.
We're still going to get to that. I think our show is even too packed to get to 92, but we are going to get to 92 eventually here. I can't wait to get to 2000 because then I'll have to cut myself.
I'm telling you right now. There's a good chance you're getting cut because that's going to be fantastic.
That's going to be good. I can't wait to get to that one. Then 04, I'm going to try and cut Pretty. I'm going to look at it up and down and see if there's a way I can remove him from the team. I think maybe because when we come in the huddle, he says and that just, you can't have that kind of.
Right before I serve, your mom calls and says, like, don't miss this serve.
By the way, you talked about Michigan earlier. They're playing Washington first round. I know we're going to get to that, but there are some great matchups, and I'm frothing to get there.
We got our brackets here. What we're going to do is we're going to go through, after each guest, we're going to go through one side, one part of each bracket.
I want
bracket,
everyone to fill out
parts. And you should fill these out and just follow along. I think there's some great matchups out there. There's some big questions.
Can we have a bracket challenge and the winner
takes home the Costa stuff?
Takes home some things.
Yeah, we'll put that up. We'll get that up today or tomorrow.
My first idea for the show.
I like it. I like that you brought
it on air.
9 months
into co-hosting.
Hey, we had a question last week that I wanted an answer to here. Best athlete to ever play volleyball. Best athlete.
Oh, indoor or beach.
Indoor or beach, but doesn't have to be a successful volleyball player. So I don't need somebody that won a bunch of gold medals. It means nothing to me. What I'm talking about is best athlete. Somebody you just looked at and went, oh, my God.
I think Sato was a pretty incredible athlete. I don't know the men's guys indoors as well as you guys, but like beach, Rosie's a pretty sick athlete, like great basketball player. Unbelievable golfer. He's just one of those guys that the minute he steps on to think he can do it. That to me is an athlete. You know, Todd Rogers is actually a really good athlete. Surf, played golf. I mean, he's just good and he's fluid at everything. Played soccer growing up. Those kind of guys are great athletes.
Yeah, true. I thought of George Romaine. Guy,
physical specimen.
Oh, just 6'8".
Did you ever see him shoot a basketball?
Can't shoot.
There you have it. Done.
But if you're talking about running, jumping... I could probably run a 4.5 40.
He's gnarly.
Never lift a weight in his life.
Yeah. Dane was a great athlete. Dane Bland was a great athlete.
I'm sticking with Danny Farmer. He's excelled at.
Danny Farmer is a great pick.
Yeah, he's ambidextrous. He can bounce balls with his left hand as well. Played Division I volleyball, won a national championship. Played Division I football, and then went on to the pros. Running, catching, tackling.
And I crushed him in the head in warm-ups.
Great call.
I had a little issue with him when we played UCLA.
Did you crush him in the head on purpose?
Oh, yeah.
That's ballsy.
We're having warm-ups, and we're out there passing. They're out there passing, right, back and forth. Wow. Before official warm-ups start.
Sure.
And he's hitting balls for some reason. Ball keeps getting closer and closer and closer to me. So I pass the ball, didn't say anything, passed the ball, told my setter to set a red, turned it 3 feet out of bounds right off his head when he's standing out of bounds.
And what happened after that?
He went berserk.
I was going to
say.
He's
at the net yelling.
Fighting.
I just went back and started passing. I was really not happy with what he was doing. And I don't know that I meant to tag him totally on the head, but I domed him pretty bad.
Did you gain a lot of respect amongst your teammates?
My teammates liked it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't think Farmer liked it. Actually, it was funny. I talked to him after the match.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we talked after the match on our way out, and everything was clear. Like, it was cool.
That's so typical volleyball, though. There's a confrontation, yet there's always a net that's separating the two parties. I mean, come on, let's get some fights going here.
There was a legendary fight in the late 80s. San Diego State, Eric Etteberry absolutely threw blows. San Diego State, UCSB, bench clearing brawl, true story.
Awesome. I like Andre Johnson yesterday.
Do you ever see a football fight that matters? That one matters. I'm not talking
about because they ripped the helmets off.
LeGarrette Blount last year, when he just threw that haymaker and crushed that guy from Boise State, was pretty funny because the guy was popping off. But that was a great one yesterday. Helmets came off and Johnson went to town.
Yeah.
And everyone really liked it because that guy, Finnegan's, is kind of a douchebag.
He stirs the pot. He definitely stirs the pot. Cortland Finnegan, I just got a message from Brandon Rosenthal. He's on
Destiny Hooker is on this for best athlete. Volleyball player. She does have three national championships, I believe.
And when you watch her play and stuff, yeah, I think you could put her in that discussion. Certainly.
Rudy T says Austin Rester played college basketball for Button. Now done.
No, Austin Rester. No, I've seen him.
Great athlete. Great athlete.
Doing yoga. Can't do it.
Great athlete, but not the best.
All right, so that's an interesting discussion. Send us your thoughts. TheNetLive@gmail.com. We'll put it up here and send us your thoughts on anything else. Doesn't matter.
No.
Geeter, or maybe Reed's saying and. You know, you can critique Reed anytime you want. He can take it. He's tough. He's a tough guy.
I'm still in the athletic portion of my career, Barney. I haven't crossed over yet to the broadcasting part, but she's right. She's got a point, and I'm going to work on it.
I'm on the broken part of my career. I MX'd the last couple of weeks. Had a private ride, Paris, a couple weeks ago. It was awesome, and rode Comp Edge this week. A lot of fun. My knee does not feel good, though. I think I overdid it a little bit. I got
maybe,
too excited.
Maybe that's why you were a little Mr. Grumpy Pants this morning, Bob. But you're snapping out of it.
Could
and I'm going to tell you right now, Reed has added value to this show so far. If he wants to get cut off now,
he can go.
Because he has given 16 minutes of his life, and he has added value. Whether he's crossed over or not, he's been good on this show.
Reed, just let me know if you want to start going out. We'll play you right off.
Just start the music. I mean, that's got to be the NetLive tagline now. Just start the music and shut somebody up, right?
That's right. We don't have a hook. We just start playing music right over the top of you.
Whatever happened to Dan Madden?
He blew his Achilles.
Yeah, he did. That happened.
Yeah. I think he
no longer returns texts or anything.
No,
he had his
legs amputated. I think he's now wheelchair bound, and he works in some media company in Santa Monica.
Wow.
That's it.
Who was it recently that told me? I guess I'll come on the show. I don't think Dan Mann's on there anymore. God, who was it?
I know the answer to that question.
Told me that, and I was dying laughing.
He's coming.
I cannot wait to tell him.
You want to know who it is?
I think I heard it twice.
It's Dave Williams. He's coming on the 13th.
There was a feast, too.
That's just mean-spirited is what that is.
It's awesome.
People hating on Dan. That's okay. That's okay.
What's the deal with Achilles tears, by the way? Is it more popular because there's just more media surrounding it, or is it just more popular because of the way athletes are playing now? I mean, what's the deal? It's happening all the time.
No, I think it's just happened with a couple of people we know, and it's been happening.
A couple of people. It's been like at least a half a dozen. Lambert, Misty, Dan.
I got a few friends as well that you guys
know. Sujo.
Yeah, Sujo.
I think we're just...
It just happened to Podolski, actually.
Podolski did it? Oh, no.
Hey, who's in Finland now? I saw you guys talking about someone in Finland because I have an answer for who's played there before.
Kavika Shoji.
Shoji's there. And you guys both know. Koli Kaiman was in Finland in 1995, and it was 24 hours of darkness.
That's what I want to know.
Over there on a cage. We got to have him on one time. Well, first, he'd talk the whole time, but if we can give him a limit of 3 minutes, he was miserable over there because his gal broke up with him over here. Now they're married. But
that was
at
a rocky
time,
relationship.
It was rocky, and you know, we were in Amsterdam together. But at the time, it was rocky, but he was just over there playing guitar by himself in a room, just dark, and just crushing pipes out of the back row.
Yeah, Koli Kaiman, amazing player. But yeah, Shoji over there now, he's been playing in Champions League, and I want to get him on the show, but I just want to hear about the lack of light. I want to hear about all that stuff, and man, it's got to be rough. Because Belgium, I went to Belgium, that was bad enough.
And I got to tell you,
6 hours of daylight.
I get depressed when we turn back the clocks in those first few days and it's dark at 5:02.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. It's a bummer.
You're ready for bed by about 7 o'clock.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
And you guys are so spoiled. I mean, you're talking about Southern California being cold and it getting dark at 5. I mean, come on. I'm in Siberia right now. It's dark at like 2:30 in the afternoon.
Listen, bro. It's cold today. Like, I'm wearing jeans. I wore like a sweatshirt.
50 with a breeze. It's just...
I'm not happy. Not a cloud in the sky, but I'm not happy with this.
Like -20 here.
All right, I want to bring into the show our first guest today, a familiar guest who needs no introduction to our regular listeners. She's the A-Sun Player of the Year in 2009. She was the Conference Tournament MVP this past year and led her Lady Bisons back to the NCAA Tournament again. She's tall. She's blonde. She's our own ex-intern. Welcome back to the show, Alex Kelly.
Hello.
Alex.
Yes, Alex.
What's up? What's going on over there?
Hey, Lipscomb
you
to
know,
the bank.
You ever heard of a hostile witness? When you're in trial, you know, Law and Order or something, you say there's a hostile witness.
Yes.
I think this is our first hostile guest.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I am. You're right. Especially towards Gita today.
What?
Uh-oh. Tell us about it.
Tell us.
I've been listening since the moment this show opened today.
Huh? And Alex loves her some Alex, I said. That
bothered yeah, her. Totally. That bothered, like, when that guy You've been ragging on me and Reed today.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's right, Geeter. Clean it up, dude.
Yeah, we don't like it. We don't like it.
That's Barney's job. I've never ragged on Reed because I have a man crush on him. I will Barney, and I will bag on Madden. And you know what, Alex? You do love some Alex. And we all do.
Hey,
you know, I'm proud
of
Lipscomb Tigers. Are you guys the Tigers? What are you guys?
You just called us the Tigers. Are you being serious?
Bisons. You could have called them the Buffaloes or the Yaks. It would have been at least close. Well, hey, Alex.
A little respect, maybe.
We mentioned the fact that you were the player of the tournament, the MVP, and you guys came back from an 0-2 deficit in the finals of the A-Sun Championship. Tell us about that match.
Well, it obviously didn't start out the way we wanted it to. Going down 0-2, we hadn't been 0-2 all year and come back. So, you know, we're hanging our heads a little bit, but came back and, you know, started playing our game, and things started going our way. So, you know, had to win 3 straight sets, and we did it. So, it made it feel like a real championship, so it was exciting.
Did you know going into that match that was the winner that was going in and there was no other way to get in, or was there a chance at an at-large bid for you guys?
Oh, no way. We had a bad tournament at the beginning. We lost all 3 games at St. Louis, and we knew that kind of ruined our chances at an at-large bid. So it was do or die, for sure.
How was the celebration that night?
It was pretty crazy. Oh, that night or during the game?
Oh,
because we were in Florida and nothing too crazy at night.
Oh, I'm just saying, like, after you won, you know, the celebration.
Oh, yeah, there's video. You got to check us out on Lipscomb Facebook. Lipscomb Volleyball is what it is. You type that in. And there's a lot of videos you can see, and you can see the final point. It's pretty exciting. Brandon hugs Sam and, like, picks her up, our assistant coach. So it was funny.
What did Brandon say to you guys? You're down 0-2, not a situation you've been in for most of the year, certainly not any time within your conference. What is he saying to you in the break heading into set number 3?
Surprisingly, he was very calm. I know everyone's going to be like, what? But he was. And, you know, there's no point of getting mad at us. So he kind of came in with just, you know, hey, you know, they're beating us at our own game. They're working harder than we were. And it was true. And, you know, no one had anything to say about it because we knew it. Everyone knew it, you know, watching the game. And he started to get a little bit of fire as the speech started to end, knowing that, you know, this could be it. So we came back out. We were all just surprisingly calm, and you know, we played our game. And it was a good victory, overcoming defeat at first. And, you know, no better way to go into the NCAA than, you know, winning when things aren't going right.
Hey, you and I have talked a lot about senior leadership and what it means to be a leader. What did you do during that match to bring things back mm-hmm. around?
Probably the biggest thing was stay calm. I've definitely known for, you know, having a little too much fire and getting a little too aggressive and over anxious with all my teammates. So I think that I stayed calm, and that really helped everyone else.
Alex, what do you know about Ohio State? And let's talk about that first round matchup.
You know, we don't really know, you know, too much. We haven't obviously played them. They played at our same host place we played last year. They were the host team, and we played California there. And, you know, we didn't really watch too much of their match, but I remember Brandon saying, you know, man, I wish we could have had a chance to play them. So when we saw the name being drawn on the screen, we were happy there was no number by it. We didn't even really know anything about them, but we just started cheering when we didn't see a number. So, you know, we're excited. Brandon's finding out a little bit more about them, you know, each day and kind of relaying the information to us. So we're excited, and hopefully we don't think too much into it and just go out and play. You know, if we play our game, I think that we can really beat a lot of teams.
Alex, getting obviously to the NCAA tournament, winning the conference championship like you guys did is always the goal, and it's exciting. Is this the cherry on top, or do you need to win one here to really validate what you guys have done?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've won 3 or 4 years, and I still personally don't feel like we've proved it as much as we could. And I definitely think at least one win would do it. But why settle for one? I want two, you know? I mean, one's going to be great, and it's going to be honestly a great end to the career. But, you know, two is what's going to make me really happy.
Talk about the end of your career. You're a player who's dominated your conference, not one of the bigger conferences in the nation, but certainly you have increased your level of play through your 4 years of college. What are your plans next season?
Oh, wow. Wouldn't I like to know? I don't have any idea where I'm going to be next year. I'm obviously going to continue to look to play. We'll see how that goes. I don't really know too much about it right now. I think Brandon just told me to say the NCAA draft. Then after that, if that doesn't work out, I'm going to look to GA somewhere. Probably not here, even though that is an opportunity that I probably could look into. I want to kind of move on with that. Narrowed it down to not getting a real big girl job until at least a few years down the road.
Should I tell my in-laws to get the bedroom ready? See if you can just live rent-free, and we'll shoot some more videos and just let you hang around for another summer out here. Is that the plan?
Is that a possibility?
I'll have to clear it.
You're laughing. I'm not really laughing.
I think your wife,
I would really like that. Could you look into that for me?
Yeah, I'll check and see if it's available.
She and your wife can come.
I don't really know plans right now. It's kind of a stressful process.
To be an intern forever.
Yeah, intern out.
Yeah,
it is going to blow up one day. And you can be a part of it as an intern, unpaid.
Or if it really blows up.
Yeah, but even when it blows up, still unpaid?
No, then we'll give you a little salary.
Yeah, a stipend, like $100.
A little salary.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, oh, God, that's such a good deal. I'm really going to look into that, too. I was looking through the bracket, Geeter, and I'm looking for UC Northridge. And I keep looking, but I can't find it.
And I'm going to tell you why, because there's no such thing as UC Northridge. It is.
Dang it. What is it? Not UC Northridge?
Northridge.
Dang it. Dang it. I run that one.
That had Brandon Rosenthal all over it there.
Dude, Brandon's in the back just like with cue cards.
You clowns. I should go for a Lipscomb.
Dang it. I butchered that one. Guess I shouldn't do the anchoring.
Listen, the Lipscomb Bears. I'm proud of you guys. I'm stoked. I love Brandon. I love you. Let's take it out on the ridge. Okay.
Hey, but wait a second. I got a question.
Yeah.
In your NCAA bracket, is Lipscomb going on past the first round?
Yes.
I have you beating Ohio.
You mean that, or are you just filling my head?
Yeah. Well, listen. I'm about to take it off with your attitude.
Listen, we're going to do it. You guys are in the Dayton, Ohio bracket, and I have you beating Ohio State. That's my first pick. Now, my real question comes, can you beat Dayton? Can you beat Dayton at home?
You know, we played them freshman year, and let's just say it didn't go over well, but we're a totally different team.
Okay.
I think we can do it.
Dayton. I mean, to be honest with you, I have Dayton going to the Sweet 16. I would gladly be wrong on that. I would love for you to beat them. Terrell Pryor is not siding out, so I'm not picking the Buckeyes. I'm picking you guys.
Listen, my kids need some new Mikasa stuff, so if I don't win this bracket challenge, I don't want Lipscomb losing it for me. That's the issue here. You guys have to assure me that you can defeat Dayton and Ohio State.
Well, we're going to start with Ohio State, you know? Let's not get too cocky here. I'm ready. Ohio State, they better bring a good game because we're going to go out there with nothing to lose.
Love hostile guests. We don't get them often enough.
Alex Kelly.
Well, I appreciate you guys actually having me this week. It's great.
Well, listen, we're having you again when you go to the Sweet 16, young lady.
That's right. All you
have
to do
I like it.
And you're back on. And this time, you know what? Call from your dorm room or something so Rosenthal isn't just feeding you information. We want to hear from you.
By the way, according to the people on the message board, you are a better guest than Brandon. I'm sorry.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I know that's going to hurt.
Alex Kelly is the Atlantic Sun Tournament MVP. And former Player of the Year. She is a senior middle blocker who has powered her team, the Lady Bears of Lipscomb. Lady Bisons of Lipscomb. And she will lead her team to Dayton, Ohio, to face off against Ohio State University in the first round of the NCAA championship. Alex, thanks for coming on, and sorry we dissed you last week.
Thanks for bringing value.
Hey, always bringing value for you guys.
All right, Alex Kelly.
Good luck.
Go Bears.
Intern.
Bye.
All right.
What are they again?
They're the Bisons.
Bisons.
Yeah, I always call them the Buffaloes and tease Brandon. Yeah. It's the Buffaloes.
She's got great fire. I never was the MVP.
I like it. There's no cliches in there either. She's like, hey, they better be ready because we're ready.
I love it.
One of her big moments was that she, on video, one of these videos they're talking about, Lipscomb Volleyball on Facebook, she actually said that one of the other team's gyms was dumpy and kind of junky. And
great.
The other team got all fired up about it. She's like, what? It is.
Yeah, like she's telling the truth.
It's
That's
terrible.
What she does. She's not happy with that PV cop still, and she'll tell him. Here's the thing. Down 0-2, knowing that you're not going to the tournament unless you win that match, that's great for them to come back and win that match.
It is.
That says something about the program.
I was freaking out. I was
Brandon,
following
Alex.
The update.
That's awesome. I'm stoked for them.
And I thought Brandon put it very well when I talked to him. He said, look, all it is, what I said to the team is, we've won 3-0 a lot of times this year.
Let's do it now.
That's all we have to do.
It's good.
What's
coaching.
Happened already means nothing. And I had never heard it phrased that way.
That's good. I like that. I will be stealing that this year in club season.
I kind of like that one. So let's take a quick break. We're here on the Net Live on thevolleyballnetwork.com. We've got Geeter. We've got Reed on the most stable internet ever. Reed,
ever.
Just stay wherever you are in Russia. Make sure they always be there.
I haven't moved my position since.
Are you trying to talk? Because we got music going. The Net Live on thevolleyballnetwork.com. Be right back. Parents, do you know about the USYVL, the United States Youth Volleyball League? Having taught over 100,000 kids ages 7 to 15 the sport of volleyball, the league's proven techniques, super fun approach, and self-esteem lifting methods are unmatched. Truly, volleyball starts here. For more information about the league and programs in your area, visit usyvl.org. That's usyvl.org.
Hey, Reed.
Yeah, Dan?
Hey, if I wanted to call in and talk to you guys, what would I have to do?
Well, first you'd have to have something meaningful to say.
I can do that.
And then you want to probably scale that down to about 20 seconds.
Done.
And then you want to pick up the phone and dial 347-677-1525.
So I can call 347-677-1525 and say, Reed Pretty, you're my favorite volleyball player ever.
Now, Dan, when you say that, are you making fun of me? Is the joke on me? I don't get it.
Get off the bench. Sub yourself in. Pick up the phone and call.
The Net Live will not be held responsible for opinions and ideas expressed by others.
California. Anything below 60 is freezing here in SoCal, bottom line. It's definitely cold. Now, Reed has a whole different perspective on things.
You're soft.
Yeah, we are very soft. That's okay. I'm all right with that. I'm all right with being soft. Hey, we got a caller in the queue. It's an old friend of the show, Eric Sullivan. Eric Sullivan, you're a little early. We haven't even gotten into it here. We haven't even picked against your Huskers in the first round yet, and you're already on us. What's happening?
I'll tell you what, I'm looking at Sacred Heart right now, and they're looking like a nice team.
They're 29-6, dude. They
know.
Two more games than
I'm going to say it right now. If you lose to Sacred Heart, don't ever come on this show again.
Hey, they absolutely unloaded on Robert Morris. I'm not sure who that is, but they gave it to him.
Just Robert versus the whole team.
No, they're actually an all right team. They're a little undersized, but they play the game all right. So, I mean, we like our chances being at home, and I'm sticking to that. So,
all right.
Esau, were you surprised by a 2-seed, or did you guys see yourself going there? I mean, obviously, I thought you guys would get top 4, but were you happy with that?
Yeah, I thought we would get a number 1 seed in the tourney. So I thought we'd be a top 4 as well. And being the 2 is not surprising. I think, you know, they can start manipulating those however they want to get the regions that they want. And I don't know, you know, being a one versus a four in volleyball, I don't think has very much significance. They tend to do what they do. So, you know, we're happy with our seed. You know, I think we deserved it. We played a tough schedule this year, and we had two losses that were both close games and to good teams, and took care of the rest of business. You know, we won the Big 12 outright, and that's not an easy thing to do. And yeah, so you know, we're looking forward.
They didn't do your favorites, Esau. You got Hawaii, Washington, Michigan. They're all going to play each other.
Seriously, those guys are in our region?
I mean, you know, we can get into the NCAA seedings. We haven't done it yet, but I am baffled at how this thing goes down.
You know, Geeter, if I hadn't been surprised in past years, I would be surprised. But it seems that every year, I don't know how to say it in a great way. They do what they do, you know. And it's not that our region is as difficult as it seems to be. It's that there's so much unbalance, I think, across all four regions. I think there's two extremely difficult regions, and there's two regions that do not appear to be as difficult as the other two, significantly. And so that to me, I think, is the unfortunate part of it. It seems, I don't know. I mean, I guess you can get into all kinds of conspiracy theories and what they're doing and how they're doing
it. Though, too much emphasis on the RPI.
Yeah, exactly. And to me, again, I'm not sitting in that meeting, but it just seems that they don't have a real good grasp on volleyball in general, and they're just the only thing they have to look at is the RPI, and they don't understand the rest of it, which, you know, is unfortunate because everybody's working hard, and, you know, we just played a grueling three-month-long season, and, you know, now they lay this out there. And so I don't know. You know, we've got to do what we've got to do, and it's, you know, we're going to prep the best we can, and we had a great time in Seattle in 08, and so we're looking forward to going back there.
Obviously, you can speak to the Big 12 teams. Are you happy with the representation, and how do you see your conference doing in the postseason?
Yeah, you know, I thought everybody that we thought was going to get in got in, and, you know, I thought the cutoff was right after Missouri. You know, Kansas could have made a case, but they had four really bad losses in conference, and I think if they had won those, which they should have, they would have been the sixth team. They were a nice team when they wanted to be, and they had some nights that were not great. And, you know, I think Reid does a good job there, and for some reason they were just on and off. And so, you know, Missouri's the cutoff. Missouri's a nice team. They got a couple foreign kids. They've got an opposite that, and I don't know if this is PC or not, but kind of plays like a guy. She broad jumps and has a nice arm and moves the ball around, and they run her out of the back row all over the place. And so, you know, if she's good and they got another outside that's good, they're going to be a handful for somebody, and I'm not even sure who they play.
Northern Iowa.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting match. I could see them beating UNI. In fact, I've actually got them in my bracket that I filled out for fun because that would be an NCAA violation to do so otherwise. Yeah. I've got them beating UNI. And, you know, I've got Oklahoma going to the 16.
And who do you have? Texas and your friend and alma mater, Mike Seeley. That's the one I know.
You know, that's the interesting one as well. And, that, you know, I've talked to Seals a little bit, and you know, again, I can't speak for him, but, you know, I think he's excited that they're in that region because I think, you know, they feel good about the teams overall, but I know that he feels that they've got a couple, you know, the first two rounds are going to be difficult. And obviously beating a team at home is always going to be tough. And so, yeah, you know, there's some fun little subplots in all this. Obviously, we had a big match against Washington in 08 and 05, and so I'm sure that may have crossed the minds. I love that Illinois, you know, beat up on Texas pretty good this year, and they're back in that region as well. And
yeah,
you know, and Cincy obviously beat Illinois as well, and so they could meet in the second round. And then you get Texas, UCLA. I mean, to me, that's just as tough a region as Seattle.
Yeah, I have that as one of my best second-round games, Cincy versus Illinois and Texas versus UCLA.
Sure. It's there's going to be some great games. And, you know, we look at this and we kind of try to figure out who's going to win what and who we need to prep for and what we're looking down the road. Obviously, we're not looking past anybody. You know, our mind's focused right now on Sacred Heart, and then our second-round match, we'll prepare for them as well. But there's going to be some upsets. I mean, you know, this has been that year where just when you thought you had it pegged, everybody's losing. I mean, look at the last week. You know, I think Florida and us were the only two teams that didn't lose a match in the last 2 weeks of the season. And some of them pretty ugly, you know.
Why it is? Do you think some of the teams are just a lack of focus coming down the last week, tired?
You know, Kevin, I think some of it is you have some new teams that have kind of reached some new heights And I think some of that has to do with expectation. I mean, you see that a bunch. It's like a team, you know, look at Cal. They go up a game on Stanford, and you just got to wonder if they have some kind of mental or emotional kind of sigh of like, all right, we won it. And then they take the next, you know, week off and don't play well, and they lose a game to Arizona. And not that Arizona is a bad team by any means, but it just seems like they let their guard down. Illinois the same way. They're in this great position, and they control their destiny, and all of a sudden, you know, they falter big coming down the road. And again, I don't know. I'm not in their gyms. But it just seems to me, I mean, I know from the two programs I've coached at, there's a big difference in playing with expectations and without them. You know, it's a lot easier to play, a lot less pressure when you go into the gym and you're the underdog most of the time. And, you know, when you got that target on your back all the time, it doesn't matter who you're playing. You know, you could be playing the 300th team in the country, but they're going to come in and it could be their national title game. You know, they're going to be jacked up to knock you off. And so, you know, I know Geeter doesn't know that playing at Northridge.
Oh, interesting.
You may have had a sniff of that at Pepperdine, but not much. And so,
oh my!
I don't know. I went far every year. I mean, I know you sold the ring where you defeated my team in the national championship game. I think that's been well documented on this show. I have made my runs.
No, yep. I know you guys. You guys have both been on teams that
opportunity.
And I got you a gold medal in Columbia. Don't
good
ever
call. Good call. You guys have both been on teams that have been good, and you know, I mean, when you're good, people are gunning for you, man. They want that win. That's that one signature win. And so, I don't know if that factors into it or not, but, you know, I just know that we play with that every night. So
give me one team to look for, Sully, besides yourself, obviously.
You want, like, a underdog? You want a favorite?
Give me two. Say, look out for these guys because they're playing great, and look out for this team because nobody knows them. You're on.
Yeah, you know, Oklahoma, they obviously lost their last match to Kansas in a game that I don't think matters very much. It'd be interesting to look at it just for fun. But Oklahoma was playing really well towards the end of the season. They were playing as good as I've ever seen them play. And they do some unorthodox things. They've got an unbelievable setter who kind of flings it around and generates all kinds of issues. And they got a couple lefties on the court. I think they could go pretty far. Obviously, they're going to reach Penn State in the round of 16 if they get that far, but I think they could make some noise. And then again, you know, there's so much parity this year. I think it's going to be a fun tourney to watch.
Hey, Eric, you talked a little bit about your coaching career. You went from Colorado, from the national team to Colorado as a coach, then on to Nebraska. We've heard your name thrown around for the Open Georgia job.
Whoa, where'd you hear that?
Go Bulldogs!
Is that what they say, go Bulldogs?
I don't know. I think he's channeling the Florida Go Gators music. We'll have to look up some Georgia music if we can find it. But you know, as an assistant coach, you've been at Nebraska a couple of seasons now. Are you constantly on the lookout for a head job?
You know, I don't know. That's a great question, Barney. I think at some point in my career, I want to run a program and be the head guy and do all of that stuff. And so, you know, I don't know that I'm actively pursuing anything. I'm definitely willing to talk to people that are interested, and you know, I'm looking. I'd be interested in a job that I think you could be successful, and the administration supports it. And but at the same time, I'm extremely happy here, and they take care of me. And Nebraska, I don't know that there's a better athletic department to work for. The AD here is phenomenal, and our support staff around our program is phenomenal, and we have all these great things and a lot of stuff that's new and exciting coming up. And so, you know, I wouldn't say that I'm actively looking, if you would like to title it.
Bummer, because Geeter's holding up his resume right now. He's writing down all his gold medals from JOs and his relationship with Jimmy. Yeah,
TV's done. Going into coaching.
You're going in, huh?
Don't panic when I ask you this. Give me your final four.
I'm sorry, I missed that. What was it?
Give me your final four.
Oh, geez.
Oh, geez.
No panic.
Nebraska.
Do not panic and back out of this.
I'm not panicking.
Okay, good.
Stanford, Penn State, Nebraska. There's your three.
Okay.
Oh, he's so afraid of this other region, dude. He's so afraid. He's got Texas in there. He's got Florida. He's got his boy Seeley and his Bruins. He's nervous.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to go with? I'm going to go with Illinois.
Really? Have they lost 4 or 5, I believe?
They're 2-5 in their last 7.
And don't have
to take Florida down, huh?
They've had too many injuries.
I
would say you're right on. Kevin's done a great job there, but I'm afraid of the injuries over there.
Interesting pick.
He's going Illinois.
I like you know what? I'm going to say it's going to come out of that half of the bracket.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It'll be Texas, UCLA, Cincy, or Illinois.
Wow.
No Florida.
No Florida.
27-1 and going down.
Yeah, but look at their last five or six matches. They've been battling with teams too that, you know, I don't think are that great. I think they're a nice team, but they don't do anything that's out of the ordinary. You know, obviously they're in a 6-2 offense, and we played them. We just couldn't stop Murphy. But there's nights where Murphy's not great, and when she's not, they struggle. And so if she plays six great matches, you know, I think they've got a shot at it. But if she falters one of those nights, there's too many good teams in that side.
I like it. Love that.
She better be hitting 400 every night.
I like it. Eric Sullivan.
Good job, Sully.
Thanks, dude. Good luck.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Talk to you next Monday.
Bye. All right. Bye.
Eric Sullivan. I like it. That's an interesting pick right there. Boy, Illinois.
You know, he's never slated for an interview, but he's always on.
Illinois, I mean, you're talking Texas is going to get knocked out.
You know what? I was trying
Florida's
to get him to pick a winner.
Out.
I wanted him to pick a winner between Texas and UCLA.
Oh, my gosh.
Because that's a tough one for him.
That is a tough one. I think that's a tough one for everybody.
Steely's one of his best friends. Texas is in his conference. It's his rival. Yeah, they've won 15 in a row. Steely should have been seeded. They didn't get seeded. I mean, that is an unbelievable matchup in the second round.
All right, listen,
two teams are top 10 in the country.
While we're in that bracket right now, we got a guest coming up just a second. Let's go through that bracket. We'll do the Austin-Texas bracket right now.
I thought we were doing the Stanford bracket. I'm not ready to do Austin-Texas.
You're not ready to do that?
I thought we were doing the Stanford bracket.
Fine, do the Stanford bracket. Here we go. Stanford bracket. Stanford versus Albany. Give me your pick.
Albany. Just kidding. Stanford.
Stanford. Okay. Very good. Second match there. Cal State Fullerton. Colorado State.
That is a battle. I'm going to go with the Titans from Fullerton because I'm a West Coast homer, and I'm hoping that conference gets a win.
I'm taking Fullerton as well. Lipscomb, Ohio State.
We have no choice but to go with Lipscomb.
I'm taking Lipscomb.
You have to.
I think they're going to beat Ohio State. Butler and Dayton.
I'm
Dayton
going with,
playing at home.
Going with Dayton.
Dayton. Okay, I'm also going with Dayton. Can we disagree here at some point? That'd be good.
We will.
Tennessee, Alabama, A&M.
Do not agree with their 11th seed at all, but they are moving on.
I have Tennessee as well. Miami versus Indiana.
Don't know much about Miami. I'm going to go with Indiana. I know they beat Penn State this year. Been playing well at home, and I'm going with Indiana.
I'm going with Miami. I'm taking Miami. That's my upset maker right there. San Diego, WCC versus Long Beach State.
San Diego.
This is a no-brainer in my mind.
I'm going with San Diego.
San Diego for sure. Now you have SoCal, USC versus New Mexico.
USC.
USC all the way. Very good. Second round, Stanford versus Fullerton.
Stanford.
Very good. Stanford, Lipscomb, and Dayton. Ooh, this is the one right here.
Dayton. I'd love an upset. I would love it, but I'm going to go with the Flyers.
This is going to kill me. I'm going to take the Bears. I'm going to show a little faith here.
The Bisons, you mean?
Yeah. I'm taking the Lipscomb Lady Bisons in round two to face Stanford. I like that. Okay. Tennessee and Miami.
Tennessee had a rough stretch. I think they're more athletic than Indiana. I'm going with Tennessee.
I'm taking Tennessee. You had Indiana. I had Miami. Okay. San Diego and SC in that second round.
Upset alert. San Diego could win that game, but I'm picking SC. They're just too big and physical on the pins, and that's what you need to advance in a tournament. I'm going with SC.
McHaley coming up on the show later. I may have to answer for my San Diego pick right there. All right, so now I have Stanford versus Lipscomb. You have Stanford versus Dayton.
Stanford moving on.
I've got Stanford as well. Sorry. It's got to end somewhere for the Lady Bears. Tennessee versus I have San Diego, you have SC.
USC moving on.
USC moving on. I'm going to take San Diego in what could be a great run. All right, so final round coming out of that bracket.
Got to go with Stanford on their way to Final Four, taking down USC in five. They beat them in three, beat them in four. SC will play well, but Stanford will win in five.
I cannot pick against the Stanford Cardinal. No. The stupid tree is going to be dancing. They're going to crush San Diego 3-0, and they're going to move on to the Final Four.
Yeah, the game that I like the most in that bracket is San Diego USC. San Diego,
it's
a scary team. I've done very well this year. A lot of seniors.
San Diego's going to win that bracket for me. I'm going to dominate you because San Diego.
It could be
Diego.
A year like when John Wallace and Santa Clara got to the Final Four, when Tennessee got to the Final Four. There's those years, and Dave said it on the show.
Need more of
that. Said it on the show, and every coach that has come on has said it. This could be a year where a team sneaks in.
Yeah, Sullivan just said it. They've had so much parity and so many surprising wins, losses, and injuries have played such a factor. I think it's great for the sport. Everybody always complains about parity, but listen, it's not that exciting to watch Penn State crush everyone all the time. You know, there's that middle ground between when they start winning and then there's some excitement when they've won 100 in a row or whatever it is and you get the records and everything else. That's great, but just having them crush everybody is no fun to watch. I think this year is going to be awesome. Well, all right, we have our second guest ready in the queue.
So I got to meet this coach a couple months ago. I did a Utah State-Idaho game. He used to coach at BYU. He's an assistant for the men's program, won a national championship there, and has done a phenomenal job the last few years at Utah State, one of the only teams to ever beat Hawaii a few years ago when Hawaii was on that big 15-year run. And he's in his fifth season, 24-8 this season. They've won six straight, 9 of 10 to close the regular season. But live national television on ESPNU last week, their one shot to get in, they beat Hawaii in the WAC championship. I'm talking about Grayson DuBose. Grayson, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, thanks. You make it sound a lot cooler. I like when you talk. It's kind of fun.
that's what I do. So listen, let's get right to it. Obviously, congratulations on getting into the tournament. Did you know going in that that was going to be the hurdle? You had to beat Hawaii to get into the NCAA tournament?
Yeah. I mean, we looked at our RPI and we kind of looked at it realistically, and we thought we put together a nice body of work throughout the season, but we had that little lull, and I think that kind of bit us in the butt. So we had to make sure, and where we were seated in the bracket where we finished third, so we wouldn't meet Hawaii until the finals, that was our best chance. And
you know,
so to be able to get New Mexico State was kind of fortunate as well.
You know, Grayson, I've seen you guys play. You got a great senior setter in Chasey, and Chelsea Fowles. You got great left side players, Jocelyn White and MacArthur. How did you guys scheme to beat Hawaii? Because they'd handled you the first two times you played.
Yeah, they kind of did. Thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah, I have to. That's what a good coach you are.
You know, I think going into it, we just had to kind of – we have this balls to the wall. I'm sure that's a very common expression in athletics, but that was kind of our thing. We had to make sure that we were doing some stuff that we just – that they hadn't seen. And so we're going to go put some pressure on them and then see what happens. And that was kind of our game plan going into it. We got to go all out, see what happens, and at the end of the day – we can serve well and we can block well. And those two things, I think, allowed us to stay in the match.
Do you think you caught Hawaii sleeping a little bit? They'd beaten you 3-0 both times coming in. You turn around 3-0 them. Did they just not know how to react once you guys jumped on them?
Yeah, I mean, that's such a great team. And it's tough because anytime they have, like, a mediocre match, everybody's just, oh, man, what's wrong with Hawaii, you know? And it's like they can never lose. And so when they do, then it's a surprise. And so I think we just kind of got on them early, and they just didn't know how to respond because they hadn't been under pressure in a long, long time. I mean, the last match they lost was, what, 2.5 months ago to SC in five, you know? And so when you kind of get on a nice little run there like they did, I think you just always think, oh, we can always just win. And so I think we just caught them. You know, it's – what is that, preparation and luck meet or something like that? What's that saying? I think that was kind of what we did. I thought we were prepared. And I thought we did some good things, and I thought they didn't play a great match. I mean, their right side, Statile, I screw up her name all the time.
Belly.
But that kid just didn't, yeah, that's it. She just didn't have the match she's had typically. And so we were kind of lucky there, and we were serving tough that they weren't able to set Hewitt, which is a difference maker, that kid. And so I think, you know, we just caught him at the right time.
Did your team know, did you guys talk about it all, that, listen, if we can get them in a pressure situation, this is a match we can win?
Yeah, that was one of our little pregame keys to the match. You know, we said if we can put those guys under some stress, let's see how they respond.
Yeah.
And I thought we responded well, and I thought they just hadn't been in that situation in a while, that it was uncomfortable for them.
Do you think, and I read this, that Hawaii got hosed? I mean, they go from a top three team in the country, because I believe they did, and they lose a match to you after dominating the whole season. You know, they come up against a team that's deep and got hot and beat them, and they drop to a 15th seed?
It did. I mean, how can it not? Here's one of the best teams in the country. Their RPI is 11. They go to the 15th seed, I think. You know, I talked to Coach Soji afterwards, and that guy is such a great guy, and he's so gracious, and I said, well, what do you think that does for you? And he goes, well, we'll probably put us about 11 or 12, which is probably about right. I think we could be real happy with that seed. And so I was surprised when the brackets came out to see that they were the 15th seed. It caught me off guard, actually. I was looking for them to be just a little bit. With their body of work, I thought they should have been rewarded just a little bit more.
Grayson, you're going up to play against Cal. They have had a phenomenal season. Of course, they're coming off a loss that hurt them, dropped them from probably a 2 seed to a 7 seed. What do you know about Cal?
I know their assistant, Sam, pretty well. He was with the guys back when I was with the guys at BYU. He's at Pacific. And I think he's installing a system that's similar to what there were going to be a bunch read block team. They're going to go quick to the antennas. They're real physical on the antennas. Murray, that kid, I've only seen her play a couple of times, but wow. I don't know what else you can say about her, but that kid's good. And so I think they have this wonderful setter. She's a senior. She's going to zip it around and throw it behind her and throw it in front of her. And so I think they're good. And obviously the record kind of bears that out. I don't think you get to be Pac-10 champs and be slouches. So I think that's going to be, yeah, we're going to have to really be prepared for that match.
Talk about the scene yesterday for you guys. You're all in the room together, and you see your name called. What was that like for the ladies and for the university?
You know, it's wonderful. I've had a couple cool experiences in volleyball and as a coach, and that has been as cool as anything. Because to watch those seniors come in and we get kind of thumped, and we take our lumps the first couple of years they're here, and then to be able to watch those guys mature, and those four kids contributed so much to our program and to the university in general, and to watch those guys cheer and to sit back and just to be able to watch those guys enjoy the moment, for me is real satisfying as a coach. They're all like, oh, you should go get in the picture when they're all huddled around. And I said, nah, for one thing, I have a face built for radio, so I should never be in any pictures. But I think just to be able to watch those guys enjoy that and watch the camaraderie and the hugs and jumping around, it was just one of my most satisfying things I've done in a long time. It's pretty cool.
You're listening to Net Live. We're talking to Grayson DuBose from Utah State. Grayson, you mentioned you coached men at BYU. You've coached women now at Utah State. Talk about the differences between the athletes.
You know, I think there's more similarities than dissimilarities. Obviously, physically, the guys can kind of – my last year at BYU, it was 05, and the shortest jumper on our team could touch 11-4. You know, and that was like our liberos were getting that high, you know. And so the physical differences, those are that's kind of a no-brainer. But the guys complain about the same dumb stuff that the girls do. I mean, oh, we have to go eat out again at Macaroni Grill again. And I'm always like, hey, you guys can pay for it yourselves if you want. I'm just going to buy here. So I think I talked to Coach Dunphy before I took this job with the men. I talked to him, and he goes, Grayson, coaching is coaching. You're going to teach those guys the same principles because of the head coach you have was a guy named Tom Peterson, and he's my assistant now. But Marv said, you're going to be coaching, and you're going to be teaching them the same principles and the same philosophies that you did with the guys. I mean, that you did with the girls. And now you're going to go back. Now I'm going back to the women's side. And so we're teaching the same principles and the same philosophies that I've taught since I started coaching in college 10 years ago. And so I think those things don't change. Those things are the constants. Hey, we're going to angle here with our arms, and we're going to put our hands here on the swing block move, and we're going to do that kind of stuff. And so I think there's more similarities than dissimilarities. That's kind of been my experience.
It makes sense.
Everybody complains.
It makes sense to me. Yeah, they're complaining for sure. Players are good at playing. Complaining. That's all they do. It makes sense to me that there's not a lot of difference when you're off the net, when you're playing defense, when you're passing, those types of technical things. I wonder at the net, because men can overpower the game a bit more than the women can, and I wonder what differences there are offensively.
You know, for us, it's in transition where you're going to score. You know, you're going to dig a ball. With the guys, I had somebody tell me once when I was with the guys, well, the guys aren't very good defenders. And I started laughing. I said, actually, they're really good defenders. It's just when the ball's coming at you 80 miles an hour, you don't have time to react to make that move to go dig it. So I said, if they're not in the right spot, they get messed over. But the women, there's time to react. So for us, the women's side's more of a transition game, if you can score in transition. So that's what we emphasize. Hey, you got to turn and bust your tail off the net so you can go get this high swing. And so that's where we try to emphasize it. You're right there. That is a big difference. But it's mostly the philosophy is kind of the same. We want to go fast. We want to be on our second step. We want to kind of go quick to the antennas, do that kind of fun stuff. But the ability for those guys to kind of terminate with their power, the physical side of it, for sure, the guys kind of, that's for sure what the guys can do well.
Grayson, before we let you go, you and I follow each other on Twitter, so I think you listened to us when we played Up or Down with the 1988 Olympic gold medal team, and would they be in the gym or out of the gym? And we talked about whether Karch Karai would start. I'd love to get your opinion on that.
Well, I think that everybody that knows my Tom Peterson knows me, so I just feel like I'm entitled to know everybody that he knows. And he knows Marv real well. Those guys have coached against each other for a long time. We happened to be having lunch with Marv. And I said, well, Karch Karai, what do you think? And this is like 8 or 9 years ago. And he goes, Grayson, if I was on the plane and we were going to the Olympics and the door is getting ready to close and Karch calls me and says, I want to be on the team, I make those guys hold that door open while I wait for Karch, and then I cut a guy sitting on the plane because Karch is that good, and he'd come in and start for us as a libero. And I was like, wow, you would do that? And he goes, in a heartbeat. And I said, man, he's kind of a cutthroat guy, you know. And he looks all nice and happy, but he's kind of cutthroat at the end of the day. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's great.
There you go. So I guess he's starting.
Yep. Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't argue with that guy. I mean, Marv's a great guy. He always comes up, shakes your hand, and hits you on the shoulder. If I had shoulders like that, I'd still be playing.
That is absolute Marvism right there.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Grayson DeBoz, we wish you the best of luck in your first round against Cal. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Net Live.
Thanks for listening to the
show. Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. It's a great show. I podcast it every week. So thank you so much for doing this.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. Talk to you again
sometime. All right, have a great one.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Grayson DeBoz from Utah State.
Yeah, you know, that was a good story. He had tweeted me, and you know, he didn't have, you know, in Twitter, you can't tell the whole story, but he's like, I got a story about Marv, and that's pretty funny.
Oh, that's such a Marv thing to say. If I had shoulders like that, I'd still be playing. Every time you walk in. Yeah, Marv. Marv's a classic individual. I love him.
Working Marv's camp, see the fear of God in you that if you were late to that 9 a.m. meeting before the camp started in the dugout.
You got to be early to be on time.
Dude, you got to be early to be on time. You talk about the coastal eddies coming in. You put sunscreen on.
East Coast guys getting killed out there.
Yeah, East Coast guys are getting killed out there. Sunscreen. Yeah. And then, but if you were just a little bit late, but everyone was so nervous about doing the demos, you just because he would crush you in those coach on three demos.
Oh, yeah. J.J. Riley, setter for the team, did camps for a long, long time, was an assistant coach last year for Marv. Every time he was out there for the defensive demo, you knew one was coming high and hard to the face.
Yeah.
Immediately.
No doubt.
Same thing for Chip McCaw, another setter from Pepperdine, spent time on the national team. He would also get in that demo, and he knew right away, better get the hands up on the first one because Marv's
coming. That's great.
Well, hey, we have the College Volleyball Weekly in conjunction with the AVCA coming up in just a moment. We're going to step aside. You're listening to Net Live here on the volleyballnetwork.com. Much more to come.
I'm having fun.
Mick Haley.
Okay.
More brackets. We're glad you're here.
Did we lose Reed?
No, he's still there. He's in Russia. He wants to talk about Russian women's high school. That's what he wants to talk about. We'll be right back here on the Net Live, volleyballnetwork.com.
Hate the gym? Well, we do too. CrossFit South Bay is an elite strength and conditioning facility with a no-gimmick approach to fitness. The CrossFit program will have you running, jumping, lifting, climbing, and moving in dynamic and powerful ways. There are no machines, ellipticals, TVs, or mirrors. We train everyone from professional and collegiate athletes to soccer moms and retired teachers. With an average class size of 10, you get personal coaching and training. We sweat together, get fit together, and have a darn good time doing it. From beginners to weekend warriors to professional athletes, CrossFit South Bay is for anyone wanting to be in the best shape of their life. Visit us online at www.crossfitsouthbay.com and mention the Net Live for your 15% discount on any of our membership packages.
Welcome back to Net Live here on the volleyballnetwork.com. We're doing it new age, Yanni style, as usual. Not sure about that music. I don't know where that came from.
It's incredible.
I don't know if that's stock footage or what did I go on there.
Incredible.
I've been going to CrossFit actually now. Alex Kelly, player of the year.
Yep.
Went to CrossFit all summer. Came back stronger than ever.
MVP.
I've been going there now, trying to get my knees healthy, trying to get my legs back.
By the way, she's
like an MX.
on the message boards. And enough about you of CrossFit. People love when Alex come on. It was
I'm trying to pump CrossFit here so okay. I can get a 15% off discount on my membership, by the way.
A lot of people do that now, huh?
Yeah. It's a good philosophy. I like it. It's kind of that new age body weight circuit style training.
Where can I go do it?
Fifth Street, Hermosa Beach, in the same building as the auto repair. They're in a couple of bays.
Fifth and what?
Fifth Street and
Hermosa
PCH.
Ave?
PCH.
Oh.
Yeah. If you're coming down PCH, make a right on Fifth. Make an immediate right into the auto dealership. It's right there.
If I throw out your name or the Net Live, what happens?
15% off. If you throw out my name, probably more.
Okay.
You should go buy on your way home. Stop by. They'll have a class going. Check it out. You get in the best shape of your life.
How much money?
It's not that cheap.
I'm out.
$100 a month? Something like that?
Huh.
But classes, it's great. It's good stuff. I like CrossFit. That's why we have it here on the show. And they pay the bills. But anyways, moving on. I want to pick, before we get to College Volleyball Weekly, I want to pick the Seattle-Washington bracket.
There's a game in there that I just don't even know if I can pick.
Okay. Well, let's start with the first matchup. It's Cal-Utah State.
Cal.
Just talk to Grayson, and you're picking against him away.
I am. And I believe in Utah State, and I believe what they've done, and they played great. But I just – I mean, Cal is –
There's no stopping Cal.
They got Tar Murray, and she's one of the best players in the country. And I think when it comes down to it, they're just going to be a little too much playing at home.
There's no stopping what can't be stopped. So Cal goes. All right. Mississippi State, Mississippi and North Carolina.
I'm going Ole Miss. Love the way they played this year. They're athletic. They run a quick offense, and they got a great setter. And I just saw Blindside.
Ole Miss, 19-10, North Carolina, 24-9. I'm going to take North Carolina, taking the Tar Heels. I think they pull it out round number one. Iowa State, Creighton.
Iowa State.
I think Iowa State's hot. I think they're going to play well.
And they've been to this dance before.
North Dakota State, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
I also am picking Minnesota. They're 24-8, and they are at home. They should dominate. Hawaii, Portland State.
Hawaii, Wu.
Hawaii?
Absolutely.
Even coming off the loss from Utah, we know that they can play poorly.
Absolutely.
I think Portland State's encouraged. I think they feel good about themselves.
I'd love for you to try to pick them right now.
I'm picking Hawaii.
Okay.
Washington versus Michigan.
Don't know.
Against the host?
Don't know. Possible. Mark Rosen came on the show last week. He's got a little karma going his way. Washington,
let me clarify,
Jimmy Mac, are they going to lose first round 2 years in a row? There's no way.
Washington didn't have a great year.
I know.
Didn't have a great year. They're middle of the road, Pac-10. One of those teams that I look at and go, should you get in? Should we give another team an opportunity? I'm picking Michigan, 23-9.
I know.
I really like what Mark Rosen had to say. Michigan over Washington.
I actually picked him as well.
There you go. All right, Auburn, 20-12 versus Missouri State at 21-9.
I'm going with Missouri State.
Really?
Didn't see Missouri State play this year. Saw Auburn play. They've had some good moments.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't broadcast the game, but it was on while I was getting ready to do my show, so I saw him a little bit. I'm just going to go with Missouri State.
I'm going to pick Cam Newton and Auburn. I think that he'll play pretty well in the middle.
Cam Newton just crushing from the right side.
I'm going to take Auburn. I think Auburn's going to beat Missouri State, but that one's a toss-up for me.
Yeah, the reason why it's a toss-up is because I got Nebraska in the next round, and Nebraska's beating the next. So
that's an easy pick. Sacred Heart and Nebraska. I took Sacred Heart. I mean, they're 29-6.
I'm telling you, Sully is kicked off this show for life if they drop a set.
They beat that guy, Robert Morris, or whoever that was. I mean, they thundered him.
He's going to catch some grief for that. I love it.
All right, I'm picking Nebraska to defeat Sacred Heart. So, round number two. This is where we differ a little bit. So I have Cal and North Carolina.
I have Cal beating Ole Miss.
Okay, I'm taking Cal over North Carolina. So we both have Cal moving on to the
Sweet
16.
That's way to go out on a limb.
Iowa State, Minnesota. You don't have Iowa State. You have Iowa State
and Minnesota, and I'm going with Iowa State
an upset. I'm also going with Iowa State. All right, right on. Hawaii and Michigan. I've got Michigan. You have Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Hawaii.
Yep.
Okay.
Chip on their shoulders.
Tough pick.
Shoji, I got to go with Hawaii.
I'm going Michigan.
Good, I love it.
Go Blue. I think they're getting it done. Auburn, Nebraska. Cam Newton versus Eric Sullivan's Cornhuskers.
Nebraska.
I pick Nebraska as well. All right, here we go. Cal, Iowa State.
I'm going with Cal.
Okay.
I think Tar Murray gets it done.
I will also go with Cal. I think Iowa State's good. I think Cal's too good. I think you have too many weapons. Michigan, Nebraska. Hawaii.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nebraska because of their size. It's just not a great matchup for Hawaii.
I'm picking Michigan in a dream run.
Attaboy.
I'm taking Michigan to take out Sullivan.
I love what
Nebraska.
Mark Rosen's done to you. When I told you he's a great guy and you're going to like him,
hey, I like the scientists.
You were just happy
artists,
that I wasn't here to do the interview at all. So you could do the whole thing.
We could just talk, you know. We have to make time for you. Cal. All right, so you have Cal in Nebraska.
Yeah.
For that Final Four spot. Talk to me. Cal, Nebraska. You're hurting on this pick, I know.
Stuff. I'm going with Nebraska.
Nice.
I think they're getting to the Final Four.
I've got Cal, Michigan. I got to go with Cal. I'm taking Cal out of that bracket. So now we've got Cal and Stanford in the Final Four, and you
That's
have Nebraska,
bracket,
Stanford. It's a lot of interesting matchups. One team could get hot and run it. It's going to be a good one. We need to talk about a little bit more NCAA, but I got to pull up music here. I got to find some music to play. I know people have been all over me, want me to play different music. They don't want to hear it anymore, but you know what? They're still number one, so they get it. Somebody's got to knock them off. Well, we're just going to hear this all the way through. The Net Live, in conjunction with the American Volleyball Coaches Association, is proud to present the College Volleyball Weekly, a recap of everything good and bad in the world of volleyball collegiate athletics.
Go Gators!
The number one ranked Florida Gators, the number one seeded Florida Gators at 27-1, leading with the music and the Big Fish. They got a good song.
Are you picking them, Barney? That I cannot wait to get to that bracket.
I like that Sullivan.
We should actually
dumped on them.
We should do that bracket.
Sullivan has them learning or losing pretty early.
We're gonna do that bracket right after.
Well, we can do that bracket with our guests here. We have Dave Reed and we also have Holly McPeak, our two
Are they
college
the same
correspondents.
Time?
Everybody together.
This is insane.
Reed better just stay quiet because we don't have room for him to talk. We have four people who want to talk about the NCAAs. And Holly, I'll start with you. You were on the show. Surprises.
Wow. Yeah, it's funny. You guys just picked my whole bracket because I'm covering the Seattle Regional. So I found that very interesting. But yeah, in terms of surprises yesterday on the selection show, I mean, that's a high seed, fifth overall.
Yeah,
they haven't beat anybody. They lost to Dayton and Iowa State in the preseason. They beat Minnesota Purdue barely. And they're just not that challenged. I mean, I think they should be in the top 16, but number five overall, I think that makes that Penn State regional a little bit easier.
Duke, a 12 seed, Holly?
Yeah, another surprise. But, after the top eight stuff happens, dependent on the regional, they don't want everyone flying. If they can bust people in, they will. So yeah, there were a lot of surprises in that respect. Oregon left off the list. Pepperdine left off the list. They've had some good wins. So a little bit surprising. But Hawaii dropping to 15 after that sweep, that's a big drop as well.
I'm wondering, are they sitting there with the computers when they're picking this, getting it all set up? They got the Orbitz travel website open and they're just looking at prices? They're like, got a cheap flight over here, and we have a Greyhound. Quick, somebody get on the
After the first 16 seeds, they definitely do that. They definitely try and save money and limit the amount of flights.
I mean, Hawaii got absolutely hosed. They lose to Utah State, three match, 28-2. They put in a bid, a large one, and, of course, they got to travel all the way across the country and more. I mean, it's just crazy for me.
Yeah, I think the Seattle Regional is definitely the toughest regional with Cal, Minnesota, Hawaii. And you guys kind of downplayed Washington. They've had a so-so year, but they're great at home. They've got three seniors who want it badly and are going to be on a mission. And when they're hot, they're hot. So, and then you have Nebraska. I think that's the toughest bracket out there. And then Michigan as well.
Hey, Dave, I see Kentucky making it at 17-13 and you look at their schedule, they've had a lot of losses. Are we putting too much emphasis on RPI in women's volleyball?
Oh, that's exactly what happened this week, this year. And if you look down, it's the top 46 in the RPI. That was the cutoff point. Kentucky was 46. Missouri got in at 45. And Auburn was 44. So, after you give away the 31 automatic bids, they just went right down the RPI list and stopped, right at Kentucky, instead of maybe looking or some other teams that had great years, but now they're not going to get rewarded.
Who are some of those teams, Dave, in your mind that did not get rewarded?
Well, you know, you mentioned Pepperdine, and we've talked about the West Coast Conference many times. I think that's a great conference. You know, Ball State, you had Steve Shondell on last week, and he kind of knew he was on the bubble, and he came in at 51, and, you know, they got left out. You know, Oregon could have been in. They're 19-11, but they had a losing record in the Pac-10. So I think maybe the committee did the right thing there, and maybe that's something they should look at in the future. If you don't have a winning record in your conference, maybe that should be a deciding factor of whether or not you get in or not.
Dave, here's what always concerns me. I'm just going to throw these four teams that are hanging out together: Ohio, Penn, High Point, and Duke. And then teams like Texas and UCLA, top 10 teams in the country, have to play each other in round two, and Cincinnati has to play Illinois in round two.
Right. You know, and that's your Orbitz bracket coming into play. You know, they're keeping teams as close to as possible to their home area. You know, why in the world are Texas and UCLA going to play in the second round? You know, that to me is crazy. Why is San Diego playing Long Beach State? What a great first-round match that is.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, so, you know, I get the idea that you've got to save money where you can, but, you know, there's some of these teams that deserve to have a better shot at getting to their either the regional semifinal or maybe out as far as the regional final.
Hey, Holly, you were asked to pick the national champion, I heard, on the show. I didn't get to see it. You knew that question was coming, right?
You can ask me that 64 times, and I'm going to give you 64 different answers. I have no idea, honestly. I think Stanford's got some experience on their side. They struggled a little bit at the end, but usually they're ready for the tournament. They really had a hard time last NCAA tournament. Alex Kleinman's on a mission, and so is Cassidy Lickman, to get them back to that NCAA semifinal and final. So I think Stanford.
Team? Yeah, no, I know. Who's the hottest team coming in right now, Holly? Is it Stanford? I mean, they lost recently, so it's not them, but obviously.
Yeah, I would say Florida. I would say Florida is the hottest team because Stanford lost recently to Cal within the last week. Cal just lost to Arizona State. Penn State lost in five to Minnesota the night before the pairings came out. Florida's the only one hanging in with one loss that came during the preseason. So Florida's a hot team. I don't know if they've been pushed as much as the rest of the teams, and that's why they're kind of a question mark.
Dave, you know, the Lakers limped into the playoffs last year, and people were so concerned. You get to the playoffs, they step it up a level, they win their second straight championship. Does it matter how hot you are coming in, or is it about matchups, and is it about players stepping up?
You know, in the first couple of rounds, it's not so much about matchups, because I think – the top eight teams are so strong physically that they're going to handle the teams that they're going to run into right away. It's when you get to the regional semifinals, that's when it gets really interesting and maybe you start looking at matchups a little bit more. So, you know, in the Seattle regional, if we see Hawaii going up against Nebraska or Washington going up against Nebraska, I'm sorry to say I don't think Michigan's going to be there because they haven't been playing very well down the stretch. But, I think that's where it comes more into play. And it's more about confidence. You know, if you feel like you're playing well, I think you're going to continue that going right in. You know, when Penn State lost to Minnesota this week, they just found out the night before they clinched the Big Ten title, so maybe they lost a little bit of their edge. But Minnesota's great at home. You know, that's the Sports Pavilion's a great place to play. And Minnesota's a good team. They're healthy now. You know, they got Gibbelmeyer back, and she's at full strength, and that's a team that could really do well.
Yeah, Penn State, we've talked about that. It's a team that's kind of figured it out despite their struggles in the last week, but we've been talking about how they've been kind of on an upswing overall, and now they have what appears to be one of the easiest roads to get to the Final Four. Besides Penn State, is there another team out there that you think has gotten a pretty easy road to get to the finals?
Wow. You know, it's funny. I've been looking at this over and over again since it came out yesterday, and, you know, there's so many upsets throughout the year this year that I don't think anybody other than Penn State can say they've really got an easy walk to it. You know, in the second round, if Florida and Florida State both win, I mean, that's an incredible matchup in the second round because, you know, there's any time those two teams get together, you know, I hate to use the cliche, anything could happen, but, you know, Mary Wise is probably going to say, you know, why in the world do we have Florida State in the second round?
Talking about Austin, Texas Regional, Dave, let's go through it. Obviously, there's some great matchups there.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the interesting one to me right off the bat was Cincinnati playing Western Kentucky. You know, they're pretty close in proximity. And then if Illinois gets by Austin Peay, then you've got a rematch of the UC-Illinois match that Cincinnati took early in the year. That happened in September. But, you know, Cincinnati's played pretty well all year. They're very consistent.
I was hoping someone was going to pick a Texas UCLA winner, really.
And, oh, well, yeah, you know what?
And who is Florida going to go to the Final Four? That's what I want to know out of you two.
Okay. Holly, I'll let you go first.
Thank you. I'm leaning towards Florida getting to the semifinal out of that bracket. The Texas UCLA match, oh my gosh. I'll tell you, UCLA is very tough to play. They've pushed everybody to the limit. They just lost one of their middle blockers, their best middle blocker offensively and defensively, Katie Camp, to a knee injury. So that's going to affect them. But they did play well without her this past weekend. I think they might be able to wear Texas down, although Texas has great size in the middle. But they're, you know, Texas wants to end the rally early. And UCLA will just keep going, and they're just relentless. So,
okay, so who you got?
UCLA,
one.
Go ahead. UCLA could upset them.
Could or will?
Could.
Could. Well, we need a pick, though. That's a maybe.
That, I can't pick it.
You watch the show every week. You know how we roll.
I woo.
One of your alma maters. You got to pick one of your alma maters here.
I know. I like both teams for different reasons. It's just the matchup is tough for me. Let me think about it. You guys decide, and I'll think about it.
Eric Sullivan picked Illinois to go to the Final Four in this region, and I would have said that that was possible about a month and a half ago, but after losing to Buehler, I just don't think so. Do you guys?
Totally agree with that. I just can't see Illinois getting there at this point. You know, they didn't have a great weekend again. So I think that's one of the teams that's not hot right now. So I'll go out on the limb. I'll take Texas in the match with UCLA because Gregory Gym's a great place to play, and they get a lot of energy off their crowd there. And they beat beat Nebraska 3-1 when they met the last time. So I think Texas could be a real challenge for Florida when they get to the regional final.
What else is on your mind?
Okay, you take Texas, I'll take UCLA.
There we go. Thank you, Holly.
Going out on another limb.
All right, Holly, give us what else is on your mind that we haven't talked about in the bracket that people need to watch?
Well, I think the we haven't talked about the Dayton, Ohio region. Stanford, the top seed there. There's some pretty good teams in there. Dayton's had a great season with only 3 losses overall. Tennessee, San Diego, kind of a little bit of a dark horse. And USC, who's super physical and really playing well at the end of the season. Size-wise, they match up against the biggest and the best in the country. It's just whether or not they can play and minimize their errors, because they do have some young players.
Okay,
so
I got to put you on the spot again. You just said San Diego's good and SC is good. They're going to play each other first round. Who's coming out of that game?
I would say USC.
Okay. Dave?
I would go with USC also on that one.
I picked USC as well. I just think
I'm a lone wolf
on
that. I got
San
Diego.
I think they're too good on the pins, and as good as San Diego is and as great as the years they've had, I'm picking USC. But, of course, all we care about in that region is Lipscomb.
Brandon would agree with that.
Lipscomb, Ohio State.
Come on, experts.
We have a lot of ties to Lipscomb because of Brandon and Alex Kelly.
The Lady Bears.
You know what? Jeff Carlson's doing a great job at Ohio State, and they finished 10-10 in the Big Ten. So I think Ohio State will win that one.
Ooh. Yeah, I agree.
Oh, they'll be crushed to hear that.
Did Hawaii get scorched, you guys, going to the 15th seed? And how tough is that little region? I know, Holly, you're doing that. Michigan-Washington is one of the best first-round games. Who do you guys see coming out of that one?
Out of the Hawaii-Portland State?
No, the Seattle region.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm picking Cal out of that region. I think Cal is playing extremely well. Really well-balanced offense. I think they lead the country in hitting percentage and blocks, and they've really picked up their defense lately. I saw them just dominate Stanford last week or 2 weeks ago, so I'm going to pick Cal out of that region.
I have to go the other route and say Nebraska, and that's probably the easy pick, but I think they are so big and so physical, and I like the fact that they run a 6-2, so I think the Huskers are going to pull it out.
Both of you guys are picking your assigned duties here. I like you're
I like
picking
that.
Your own conferences. That's,
real quick, can you guys give me a winner between Washington and Michigan? Holly, you go first.
Yeah, I'm picking Washington. They're at home. Three seniors who want it bad. Becky Perry, Kinder Carlson, and Jenna Haglin. That's my pick.
Okay. Dave?
Yeah, I'm going with Washington. And for what Holly said and the fact that Michigan's not playing well right now. You know, they lost to Michigan State and Northwestern this past weekend. And they just don't seem to be on a roll. So, you know, that's one of those confidence things. And, you know, and Washington's a tough place to play. So I think the Huskies will do it.
All right, Holly and Dave, College Volleyball Weekly, we appreciate all your insights. We'll look forward to hearing from you next week when a lot of this will be cleared up. We can pick up the pieces and see where we're at. Thanks very much.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys. Enjoy the week.
All right, thanks, you too. Guys. The volleyball.
McKaylee calling in soon, too.
Yeah, McKaylee coming up in about 5 minutes. Be talking to him. I, you know what?
I love when people get scared to pick somebody.
I like that the experts, you guys pick. You know, you guys know more about it than I do. Cover it more than I do. But I like that I get to pick some of these just based on who I like.
Who you like, who you know.
Yeah, who's going to, who I think is
who
really
was a great quarterback.
That's right. Well, Auburn, then they're going to go all the way. You got Auburn coming out of that region.
God, Cam Newton is good.
Yeah, he's very good. Well, for $180,000, he ought to get the job.
I don't care how much he gets paid.
That's right. All right, so. Are we up to Austin, Texas? Can you pick that round right now?
Let's do it.
The Austin, Texas bracket. We've got the first matchup, Florida 27-1, the number one seed against South Carolina State.
Florida.
Florida, no doubt. Georgia Southern versus Florida State.
Florida State.
Florida State, setting up that interstate rivalry that should be a good one in round two. All right, Middle Tennessee State University versus Louisville.
I'm going to go with Louisville.
Louisville.
I'm going to go with Louisville.
Louisville.
I'm going to go Louisville because I don't know much about either team, and I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't, but I think Louisville's going to win that match.
I'm taking MTSU and the Birds to win it right there. That's who I'm picking. Kentucky versus Purdue.
I'm taking Purdue.
Yeah, I'm taking Purdue as well. Boilermakers getting it done. All right, here we go. Texas, UTSA.
Texas.
Texas, easy pick. American University, UCLA.
Bruins.
Bruins. Cincy. Western Kentucky.
Dave likes that game. I'm going with Reed in the Cincinnati Bearcats.
I am also picking the Cincy Bearcats. And then Illinois, Austin Peay.
Illinois.
Okay, Illinois. So not a lot of disagreement there.
No.
We're second round, Florida State.
I'm going Florida. I'm going Florida.
I'm also going Florida. All right, I've got Middle Tennessee State and Purdue. You've got Louisville and Purdue.
I'm going Purdue.
I'm picking Purdue. I think Purdue is going to end up in that game. All right, Texas. UCLA, and Mike Seeley's mustache.
I'm going with Texas. They're playing at home.
Mm-hmm.
Seeley has a great stash right now, and they have had an incredible year. Beat Stanford. They have great ball control. Rachel Kidder, former player of mine on the right side, playing well. I just think that Texas at home on a 15-match win streak, it'll be 16 going into that match, playing physical, getting healthy, playing well. Setter's doing a nice job. I'm going to go with a close four sets, and I mean like 29-27 in the fourth.
I like all the information you just gave. It means a lot to me. I played with Mike Seeley over in Belgium,
yep.
Cut his hair, dyed his hair,
yep.
Helped him out. You know, he came in and played very well in the Champions League for us.
Yes, he did.
15 years ago. I'm going to pick UCLA.
Okay. Seeley beat me in the national championship game years ago. I can't even think back
so
that far.
So you can't pick for him then.
And he is a dear friend, as is Jarrett. I got to put that stuff aside. I got to put aside, and I got to look at the ball clubs, and I got to think who's gonna win that game. I think it's going to be an absolute war.
I don't like that UCLA has lost their starting middle, but I'm picking UCLA anyway.
Good.
All right. Cincy.
A lot of people agree with you.
Illinois.
I'm going to go with Hambly in Illinois. I think they've had a great season. I know they're dinged up. They've had more injuries than anybody, except for Texas probably, and I think they're going to beat Reed, and I know Reed's had an unbelievable season as well, but I think Illinois is moving on.
Cincy's my dark horse coming
Love
out of that
it.
Group. Cincy's beating Illinois.
Love it.
So, round of 16, Florida, Purdue.
Florida.
Florida. Easy pick. I think Florida's hot. I think they're going to keep killing it. UCLA, Cincy is who I have.
Uh-huh.
I'm picking Cincy. I think Cincy
really?
Goes through UCLA.
Wow.
I think UCLA runs out of gas. I think Cincy makes a dream run
wow.
to the Elite Eight. They're the big team. Going to face Florida in the Elite Eight. You have Texas, Illinois.
Illinois bounced.
Another tough pick.
Bounced Texas
at
earlier
home.
In the year in Texas.
Yep.
They're dinged up, as we had mentioned, and the teams are completely reversed. Texas is playing their best volleyball of the year. I'm going to go Texas.
Okay, so I have Florida Cincy. I'm picking Florida. You got Florida Texas. You're really showing some faith down there. Those Longhorns, they've been hot.
Go Gators! I'm picking Texas.
You're picking Texas. I love it. I love it. Wow. So you and Sully both have Florida not coming out of that region. So far, my final four, I've got Florida, Stanford, Cal. You have Texas, Stanford, Nebraska. All right. Well, I like the differences.
I have some great – I mean, Florida, Texas, that match is going to be phenomenal. Stanford, SC, I love that match because – Stanford's going to struggle to beat SC for a third straight time. I guarantee you that. And I think Cal-Nebraska is a marquee matchup. So far, the Elite Eight is looking as good as it's ever been.
So far, we're three rounds from the Elite Eight, though. It's a ways.
I know.
Okay.
I'm just saying if you look at our picks.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you got some teams in there that I'm not sure are going to get there, but it's fine.
Yeah, you got to do something.
Yep.
Should we play this again? It was College Volleyball Weekly. It was Dave Reed, Holly McPhee, Chris Geeter, McGee, and myself. Geeter, you got to make it to this show next week. I don't know what you're going to do.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
The Net Live and the American Volleyball Coaches Association each week.
I picked against my Gators, who I picked to win the title a month ago. Go Gators!
Maybe we won't be playing this music by next week. We'll see.
Oh, they'll still be in next week. But I do think whoever comes out of that bottom bracket is going to take them down.
All right, good stuff. I'm looking forward to just a music change. I mean, I've got them going to the Final Four, but I wouldn't mind a music change. That'd be okay with me. Reed, you know, I see you still up here. We haven't heard from you in a while.
Oh, is he here?
Yeah, he's
you know,
here.
What? I actually, the college stuff kicked off, and I had to get a massage, so I muted it and got my leg worked on. I am working hard to try to wrap my head around the NCAA Women's Volleyball Championship Series here. And, you know, I'm starting to get into it. I like that you can gamble. That's the
Whoa.
Probably the highlight.
I would love
you can gamble on this thing. But, no, good stuff.
We'll do this. Get a bracket at home.
Can that song be changed to Go Geeter? Someone had that on there.
Go Geeter.
Oh, Carvel had that. Yeah. I mean, can we do that, please?
We can fix that.
Carvel is loyal.
We'll record
loyal
you
listener.
Saying Go Geeter.
Can we get you in the intro first? I mean,
Go
come on.
Geeter. God, sounds good.
Maybe that's what we'll have you do in the intro.
I guarantee I have Millie singing that by the end of the day.
You're
I
in the net. Live.
When
Go
mom,
Geeter.
When mom goes to tutor and I'm with Millie for 4 hours solo, that is what we will be practicing.
Very nice. Well, hey, Reed, we've talked a lot of NCAA, but I want to get back to international for just a second before we have Mick Haley from SC join us.
Sorry, Reed, I'm kidding. Well, I asked volleyball yesterday on a text to Barney, and the answer is no, too much indoor going on right now. We'll get to beach later. And you know what? He was right.
Beach next
Grumpy
week.
Barney was right.
Beach next week. The off season.
There's always good stuff to talk about with the beach.
All
always
right.
Upheaval. There's drama.
Yeah, wouldn't I mean, we'd hate to have like a stable net.
Garage sales.
Yeah. 20 netting systems for 1995, but don't answer yet. All right, Reed, give us the indoor update here. We've got a lot of international players overseas. We've got some young guys, some old guys. What is happening with you and your teammates?
Well, I think the main thing is that the leagues have kicked off, and even the women are now back from World Championships. And everyone's just kind of getting into the mode. And whenever you have world championships or a tournament like that cut into a professional season, there's a lot of making up to do. So a lot of teams are playing Wednesday, Sunday matches, Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday. And it's no different for our team being in Champions League as well. And we just seem like we're just on a never-ending road trip, bouncing from city to city, but everything's going good. Our team so far here in Russia, we haven't dropped a match yet, and just continuing to try to find some rhythm as a team and some consistency. And myself and Max Mihailov are the two bigger additions, I guess, to this team, considering this team's been together for a long time.
last couple years. Also, the libero is new. So I think the whole offense is trying to adjust to itself, and it's going good. And, you know, the other Russian guys, or the other Americans playing here in Russia, are also doing well. We've got
David Lee with your old team. We have Kevin Hansen, the setter, with his team, and Fockel. And that's about it, isn't it? Or Clay Stanley is also still in the league.
Yeah, Clay's playing in Ufa, and his team's struggling a little bit. And, you know, if you ask me, it's their setters just setting him too far inside and not allowing Clay to be Clay. And I know what that's like. That's frustrating, especially when you got a big stick like him, a lot of expectations. He's had so much success over the last 7 years. And, you know, when we see him on video, it's just consistently short sets, and that doesn't help him out at all.
Clay's a guy who requires a pretty specific set, not that dynamic of a hitter when the ball is out of place. And he's played with Lloyd Ball for going on 5 or 6 years professionally. Seems like that's a huge change and a big chance for any team that's taking him on.
Yeah, and there's quite a handful of guys in Italy. Matt Anderson's playing with Vibo Valencia. Sean Rooney with Monza, which is formerly Monte Chiari. Let's see, we got Paul Lottman in Verona and Max Holt playing in Piacenza. And I'm not sure those teams are doing great. I haven't been following too closely, but it looks like from stats, Sean and Matt are getting a lot of PT and logging some good numbers, even though their teams aren't doing super well. And Russ Holmes is in Brazil, Scotty T in Germany, and Bilar in Poland. So everyone's just kind of with their teams, and I know the girls are getting there too. And, you know, things are kicking off, and there's tons of access. I guess the main takeaway with the international volleyball scene right now is that with all the live streaming ability, there's tons of access to these matches, both live and archived. And follow any one of us on Twitter, and you'll kind of be directed to the LaOla1.tvs or the From Sports or the Sportbox.ru, and it's a great thing for our sport that it's that accessible.
Great opportunity to see a lot of the rising stars out there, both Americans and otherwise. A note here from Reed Albert, Alberto Cizzola, Italian player, just played his 500th career Italian pro match. Forget the international selections and the caps for the national team. That's an unbelievable amount of volleyball for one individual to tolerate, and he continues to go strong, correct?
Yeah, he's still Cizzola, still doing his thing. 500 career Italian matches. That's a lot of matches.
That's good. It's good when you start in a league when you're 18, but certainly a credible amount of durability from Cizzola. And lots of fun Champions League stuff going on. Trentino lost in three last week, so we'll have a new champion this season. And you said the Russian teams are looking good. You like your chances, Reed?
I like our chances. This team is not secretive in its goals. There's four cups to win, and that's kind of the target for this particular team. And the Super Cup was the first one that we've talked about before on the show. We won that, and now we're heading towards the Russian Cup. And Champions League is kind of sprinkled in and out of the season. So though Trentino lost, they're still in it. It's just kind of like World League pool play going on right now. And then they'll narrow it down to 12, and then 8, and then Final Four. So tons of volleyball to play, lots of access to it. So just stay tuned online and check it out.
All right, good stuff. Thank you. Thank you, Reed. Geeter, we have our next guest all set in the queue, ready to go.
The coach.
The local coach. I don't know if he's going to be upset about my pick.
He is.
Yeah, he's not going to be happy.
I wasn't happy with it.
Let us know who we're talking to.
We're talking to multiple national champion winner, a couple at USC, at Texas, has a great young team this year. Of course, I'm talking about Mick Haley. Coach, welcome to the show. How are you?
Welcome
back.
Hey,
guys. I'm doing great. Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in again, Coach. We appreciate you being here. Let's talk about this season and your team. I just want to hear your reflections on the year thus far heading into the first round of playoffs.
Well, the good thing about this team is it's gotten better each month, and that's what we hope for. You know, we're playing 3 to 4 freshmen, 3 juniors, and a sophomore, a senior a little bit. But I got critical people in critical positions, like my libero is a freshman, one of my middles is a freshman, and left side banger is a freshman, and backcourt with Sarah Shaw coming in and helping out with passing, who can play all the way around. It's really been a nice season for us so far.
Coach, the one thing you guys have is great pin hitters, and I know you've won national championships before. You need that to advance. Are you feeling pretty confident because you're so great at the pins?
Well, I think we've won so many five-game matches because we're strong at the pins. However, our right side is kind of backed off a little bit. We need to pick that up here. Our middles have pretty much saved us, believe it or not, because they've been so high percentage, and we can set them now from the 3-meter line, which really doesn't allow people to load up nearly as much on the two left sides. If we could get Fuller going again on the right side, I think we'd be really hard to deal with in this tournament.
Talk about Alex Jupiter and just how she's progressed as a player. Of course, we've all seen her since she was in juniors, but she's really come a long way.
Well, she's reduced her errors a great deal. You know, the first part of the season, our errors were just so high that it negated all of the power. And now she's a lot more patient. She hits more shots. She'll bring it when she has the opportunity. But in the match against the Bruins this last week, she really didn't try to dominate their block. I thought she continues to work on using the entire back line. She can go to the sideline, but the back line has been something that hasn't been a great vision for her, and she's starting to use the left half of the court, which is pretty good, pretty essential, because everybody was playing her pretty much cross-court, and I think she's got about 4 kills a game, scores about 4.5 points to 5 points a game for us, so she's been a pretty nice asset.
Coach, with the younger team out there on the floor, how conscious are you and your staff of maintaining a bit more leadership, or is that something that you have been able to let go onto these younger players?
Actually, they're pretty good. I mean, Haglund just takes charge of the whole court. Fallon's a great IQ, volleyball IQ, so I don't have to worry about her. Sarah Shaw was the top player in Texas last year and handled every ball for her high school team, who was in the state finals every year for 4 years and won the national championship in juniors when they were 16s. She played on the 17s when she was 16. And so I have a lot of kids. And Olgaard won 4 state championships in Washington and has constantly been getting better in the middle as a 6'5 middle. So, you know, that combination of kids has been really good. And I still have Burnham over there, who was starting for us at the start of the year, who's backing up Kendall right now, 6'2 as a setter. So she's played left side for us and now is backing up Kendall as a setter. So, you know, feel really confident about it, our freshmen and how they feel about being out there performing.
You know, Mick, I know you and Tim are really excited about Natalie Haglund. She's one of those kids that I coached against for years, and I always loved her as a player because of what she brought to the court. I knew she would transfer over and be just a gamer for you guys. How good has she been as a freshman libero, and how much of a difference has she made?
Well, she's really been the heart of the team. I think she's so selfless that it's amazing. She won't take credit for anything. She gives her teammates credit for everything. She just tortures her body every day in practice. I think she's found this libero position to be a lot tougher than being a left-side hitter, because she could let out the steam by swinging at the ball as an outside attacker in juniors. But she has weathered this quite well and has played with an injury half the season, and you would never know it. So I think she's been kind of the unsung leader behind the scenes. She certainly does well in backing up Bateman, who's our captain, along with Urango for senior leadership. And so I think she's been critical. Fallon brings the points, which is really nice. And Olgaard, everybody just loves, because she's just such a nice and aggressive kid. You know, it's kind of, that's a nice combination to have a kid that's that pleasant and just gets over the net and puts the lights out. So the three of them have done really well. And Shaw's got a great sense of humor. You'd never know it. She hardly ever says anything in front of anybody, but she cracks them up most of the time. So that whole group kind of bonded, you know.
Hey, Coach, before we go to your bracket, let's talk about some of the Pac-10 teams that you know so well, because there's some great matchups. Washington's in there with Michigan and Hawaii. Arizona's a team that I think is in a pretty good spot because of the draw they got. Can they make a run? And then, of course, you know, the possible UCLA-Texas matchup, and then Illinois after that. Talk about those teams and the chances you see there.
Well, I actually thought Arizona and UCLA got great draws. I think they have a great opportunity to show people how good they are. They're really physical. They're well coached. Both of those teams are doing extremely well. And with the draws they have, they've got nothing but opportunity. So if the conference hasn't drained them, they have great draws. The thing that I'm discouraged about, that the committee wasn't smart enough to or knowledgeable enough, or maybe they just did this on purpose. I have a hard time believing that, but they put our top three conference teams on the same side of the bracket. And that just doesn't seem to be right, you know, to have all of those teams on one side of the bracket, which means that if our top teams are our top teams, then they should have the right to be in opposite brackets to meet in the finals if they get that far.
Yeah, Mick, I mean, you look at this bracket, and we've been talking about it all show with everybody that's come on, from Eric Sullivan to Grayson DeBose to Dave Reed and Holly McPeak. It just makes not a lot of sense sometimes. Does it get frustrating for you guys, or after all these years, are you just used to it and you just go where they tell you to go? Because, I mean...
No, I think it's extremely frustrating, but it's difficult to deal with the NC2A. And these people on the committee, in some cases, are new, in some cases, don't have time to do their homework or don't do their homework. In this case, I believe this is 2 years in a row, so it's not a mistake. The committee's either uninformed or not paying attention or not seeking additional information. If they rely on the RPI, then they're making a huge mistake, because this RPI is not valid or reliable. And that's the thing that nobody has really looked at. The RPI is supposed to be one of about eight different things that allows the committee to make decisions on placing teams. And it looks to me like they've used the RPI as a majority of their decisions come from what the RPI says. And the RPI is incorrect. It's weighted incorrectly. And if anybody that knows math were to run a validity or reliability study, they would find that neither one would hold any water with the way the RPI is being done. But we haven't been able to get this across to the committee, because they always say, well, it's just one of our tools. And if it is one of their tools, then they really need to do some additional work here. There are a couple of things, like the Florida State placement last year allowed them a free pass into the Final Four. Totally unfair, because the program hasn't shown a history of doing well and really had somewhat of a shaky schedule with some early wins that weren't replicated later. Similarly, this year, to give Penn State a pass like this, with knowing full well that most of their losses have come on the road, and then allow them to stay home for particularly the first 2 weeks of the tournament, pretty much guarantees them a chance to get in the tournament when they're probably not a top four team. They're probably a top eight team in that regard, and that shows not paying very much attention. And to give Northern Iowa this kind of a pass is even worse than the Florida State last year, because they're totally unproven, with only a win earlier, I believe, over Minnesota, who was not playing well at the first start of the season.
Yeah, they got swept. State.
Yeah, and now Minnesota's playing well at the end of the season, and they seem to be getting credit for that, and that's what's unfair about the RPI. Just one of the things. The other thing that bothers me as much as anything is Oregon not getting into the tournament, when most of their losses are against top eight teams out of our conference that the coaches recognize to be extremely tough. And they don't get in the tournament, yet a North Carolina gets in at 24-9, or a Kentucky at 17-13, losing matches to SEC teams. A Florida State gets back in at 21-10, and Indiana gets in with 11 losses. You know, it makes no sense. And then you have rankings of Hawaii with a 28-2, who've played top four teams, a 15th rank, and UNI was 30-2, that's played only Minnesota at 5th rank. And that shows to me that the committee is not doing their due diligence and really figuring out how to have one of the best and most balanced tournaments. On the other hand, from our standpoint, I think they probably got us right. We're probably a sixth seed. We're probably somewhere in that 4-8 block. And the thing that's bothersome to me is that we get the same teams every year, or the same grouping of teams every year plays in that first round. Thank goodness they didn't send Hawaii this year. They sent them to Washington. But those are unbelievable first rounds. And Cal having Utah State, you know, Utah State has been tough all year. They're well coached, and they get them in the first round. That's amazing, especially after Utah State beats Hawaii 3-0 in the conference championship.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things I see. And then we get a Long Beach or San Diego. It's like Texas always gets the winner of the Southland Conference, which is usually Texas State, but this year it's UT San Antonio. They can pretty much plan what they're going to do. The committee, for this to be a great tournament, the committee needs to look at seeding the 32 teams, not just 16. And if they're going to do just 16, they need to do a better job in getting them in the proper order. That's my opinion.
Were you surprised UCLA got shipped to Texas for that second round matchup, possibly?
Well, I was surprised because I thought one of our top three teams should have gotten shipped to Texas. And I thought one of our top five teams should have been sent to Penn State. Penn State not getting any Pac-10 team is just wrong because Penn State has to hold some water here and get through some good teams, quality conferences. You know, another thing that's happening, and I see this happening in football, but the Big Ten Channel has made a big difference on recruiting, NC2A bias, and all of that, because so many of their teams are seen on TV live all the time now, or even delayed, that people have a much better feeling for those teams than they do the Pac-10 teams, who are either seen on Fox delayed or 2:30 in the morning or some other times like that. We don't get nearly the exposure for what I think is the best conference in the country, top to bottom. And I think the Big Ten has been running off this RPI. While their teams are pretty good and they play well, they're not the top conference, in my opinion. And when you look at the SEC and the ACC, and even now the Big 12 is down to two teams, maybe three teams, that are really quality. So I don't know. That's the most frustrating thing. And I think if the committee is going to do this, they need to, midway through the season, do a ranking of 1 to 16 or whatever, so that everybody can start to get an idea of how they're thinking, so that they can at least prepare themselves.
You're listening to Net Live here on thevolleyballnetwork.com. We're talking to USC Women's Volleyball Head Coach Mick Haley. Mick, I wanted to ask you said RPI is the thing that's driving a lot of the decisions made by the committee, and you mentioned there's about eight other factors that should be considered. Can you list off some of those factors for us?
Well, I think you have to take into consideration some of the other polls. I think there's no place where the committee seems to be getting coaches' advice, coaches' rankings. The AVCA provides 50 coaches who rank teams each week. Independent sources like Volleyball Magazine and things like that post rankings of people who have been out seeing the competition. Some of them are biased by places they are in the country, but in this case, you know, there's Dayton, there's Northern Iowa. There have been a few teams like that in the past who are kind of Cinderella teams that have done really well in their conference. They go undefeated in their conference. You have to look at the home-and-home matches against ranked teams, whether you won at home, won away, if your wins are early in the year or late in the year. Lou Wallace, who was at BYU and used to run the Volleyball Pairings Committee, did, in my opinion, the finest job of getting all of these factors on paper and taking the committee through them left and right, so that everyone would be aware before they voted on who to let into the tournament, where to place them and how to have the fairest tournament. And the committee went away from this somewhere in the mid-90s and developed this kind of quasi-RPI, and it's led to just non-factual stuff happening. And I think the biggest loser on this are the athletes who have worked so hard all year, who have made sacrifices to go to programs that have shown that they train and that they're going to work hard and get in here. And I'm not against the little guy doing well at all, but somehow those people have to prove themselves and schedule. The Pac-10, for instance, is talking about going home and home with their 12 teams next year, which would cause them to only have 2 weeks or possibly three at the most preseason to play other teams. And it just regionalizes them even more. And if this is the way the committee is going to treat them, I think they're in big trouble as far as getting more than six teams in, and may in fact only get five teams in the future because of the way they're setting up their schedule. Big Ten is talking about doing the same thing, but they're going to get so much media coverage that I think they will be actually able to market themselves and be restricted to only playing each other for the most part also.
Coach, I want to switch gears for just a second and talk about the athletes. You mentioned the training and their selection of schools. We've talked to a lot of different coaches about the recruiting aspect of NCAA Women's College and the length of the club season and the toll it's taking on the athletes. Can you comment a little bit on if the recruiting equation and the club season equation is out of balance?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think much differently than a lot of these people. You know, people have choices. Athletes have choices, all of that. They just need to make wise choices. A lot of people are afraid to make different choices, to step out of the mainstream. I'll give you an example. When Fallon Fanoimoana did not play club last year, it saved her body, and she made that choice not to do that. It didn't hurt her a bit from the standpoint of where she was going to school or that sort of thing. Whether you play USA in the summer or not. But I don't think you take these opportunities away from people. And every time we restrict dead periods or we put dead periods in that restrict times, we limit the growth of our sport. When you start talking about this is hard on the athletes, yada, 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 it is their choice. It's their parents' choice, their choice. It's their high school coach's choice. You know, all of those people have choices, and I don't believe that we should be limiting our sport the way many of the Big Ten proposals coming out are trying to limit our sport, trying to put in dead periods, trying to do all of this stuff. Our sport is still growing by leaps and bounds. You can't absolutely stop the number of teams that explode onto the scene every year, club-wise and that sort of thing. The high schools have become more and more competitive. The high school games you see on TV are really good now to watch. I mean, the athletes are great. Are you going to tell men's basketball they can't have playground games? They play all the time. I don't think we should be treating our athletes differently than the other sports treat their athletes. Our athletes are elite. They just have to make wiser choices in some cases.
Okay, so no restrictions on the opportunities to play. What about recruiting restrictions? It seems like there's a lot of pressure placed on kids at earlier and earlier ages, and coaches, it's turned into sort of a nuclear arms race, and you have coaches taking chances on women that and girls that at 14 have no idea what that athlete's going to be
like.
Yeah,
but I laugh at that because that, again, goes right back to the same issue. People mm-hmm. have choices. You don't have to make those choices as a coach. And I don't see anything wrong with the early recruiting because there is a certain number of kids that know where they want to go to school, and if they get an opportunity, they pick it. If coaches aren't responsible in making good decisions, that's on them. There's nothing wrong with what the recruiting process. I would tell you, in fact, if anybody wants to solve this, they can solve it real quick. We have proposed for at least 5 years, and I know Tim has been working on this in his assistant coaches committee, that we get 80 recruiting days, 80 recruiting opportunities to go out and see athletes. we would be more than happy to post these on an internet site and have every school post their 80 days out. And then that way, 80 days, if you use your 80 days, you're not increasing the amount of recruiting opportunities. And everybody's worried that everybody else is cheating, and I don't see too many of the coaches cheating. But if that's a problem, how about just open it up, put your dates out. We have to turn this into compliance every month anyway. Why not just put this up on a website? University Athlete would be more than willing to volunteer the space for every D1 school to put your recruiting dates up. Then you see somebody out that doesn't have that date on the recruiting site, and you know that they're maybe using dates that they shouldn't be using. The fear is always that somebody's cheating. That's what I hear. And when in effect, it's just a matter of making choices. You have to decide, either by your budget or by your recruiting opportunities, how many places you're going to go, who you're going to spend your time on, and who you're going to trust. And I really, guys, I am so much against legislation. I'm against big government. I'm against big NC2A government. Let us police ourselves by doing this out here. But if the coaches won't do this, then it pretty much lets you know that there's something that they're worried about here that maybe we should look into it. But I think that's the answer for all of this, open disclosure.
Would it benefit the kids and the athletes at all to not have the pressure of college coaches actively recruiting them until the end of their junior year or some time period?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to it, but I know they're still going to have the pressure. Right now, the parents are putting the pressure on. They're telling them, if you don't do this, you don't do this, you won't get a scholarship. Well, you know, only 6% of all these kids playing are going to get scholarships anyway. Parents, it would have been better to take the money they invest in juniors, put it in the bank, and get 5%. And they'd have enough to pay for a college education by the time they got there, especially if they take all their travel expenses and all of that stuff. But that's not what's happening. And I don't see the kids getting all this pressure anyway. They actually like it. It seems to have driven the sport to even a higher level. I don't see anybody jumping off buildings or anything like that. So all I hear is college coaches saying, well, it puts so much pressure on the kids. I don't hear the kids saying it puts so much pressure on them.
Well, Mick Haley is a former national team coach, multiple-time national champion, and current head coach at USC. They'll be facing their first-round competition this week against New Mexico in the NCAA tournament. Mick, thank you so much for spending time with us here on the Net Live once again. We appreciate it.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Right. Coach, Haley. See you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Mick Haley, USC.
Yeah, he likes to get into it.
I like that Mick has an opinion.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not afraid to throw it out there.
I disagreed with the Oregon call, but he's going on with, I wanted to jump in, but we just, you know, he's on a roll. You don't stop him. But you know, when you look at Oregon, they have one top 75 win, I think, and they have a ton of losses. I don't think they should have got in. What I do agree with him with is that the Pac-10 side of, you know, with Cal and Stanford,
you got to move some of those teams.
Everybody, I mean, one of those teams should have been on the Penn State side.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got Arizona over there, but you have to put a bigger powerhouse in that group. There's nobody in that Penn State group. That's atrocious.
Yeah.
You can't have on this side, you have Cal, Stanford, and SC all going to meet each other.
I agree that Arizona should be in, and I actually think Arizona's going to make a little run in that side of the bracket, to be honest with you.
And I'd argue against
with
Oregon, too. Somebody sent me an email this week. I read it yesterday talking about, oh, we should give these other teams a chance. I'm not saying you give someone a chance and it's charity time for some of these other groups, but these conferences are hamstrung. And if somebody's producing wins, they're producing wins. And if it's in their conference, they're dominating their conference, and they fail in the conference tournament, they still should have an opportunity to get in. And the argument's always going to be between these last couple of teams, and we've heard about it with a team like Kentucky where people don't think they should have gotten in. But I really think as you reach so deep into some of these conferences, look, Oregon, you know you play in the Pac-10. You got to recruit better players. You got to play better in your conference and do better in your conference. You can't just laze along in your conference and stink.
How does one team
and expect to be in the tournament?
San Diego, the only team from the WCC to get in, and then Kentucky at 17 and 13 gets in as the fifth SEC team. I think that's too much.
Agreed. All right, we got one bracket left. University Park, Pennsylvania, bracket to go. First match, University of Northern Iowa, fifth seeded, versus Missouri.
I'm taking Mizzou.
Are you? You're just angry with you and I.
No, I'm not. Okay. And they're on a big run, and I know they beat Minnesota early in the year, and I know they're a good program. Good setter, good attackers. I've read about them. I've heard about them. I've seen people on Volley talk about them. But I think Mizzou is a pretty good team.
Okay.
They battled in the Big 12. They played Texas tough, played Nebraska tough. I think they're going to win.
I'm taking you and I.
Good.
I think you and I is going to move on. Arizona, Northwestern.
Arizona.
I've got Arizona as well. I think they've played very well against competition in the Pac-10. They've been kind of up and down, showing up in some matches, having in others, but I think they're going to
The easiest four teams coming up right here in terms of matchups, when you look at like Washington playing Michigan, you have Ohio playing Penn and High Point playing Duke. I think that little small region is not strong.
Ohio and Duke is who I have in the first round there.
Me too.
Yeah, and Duke is the host. LSU, Tulsa.
Love Fran Flori, love LSU, taking the Tigers.
I'm taking the Tigers as well. Oklahoma, Wichita State.
Oklahoma.
Both teams with 21 wins. Great seven center. Losses for Wichita, 10 for Oklahoma. Oklahoma at home, I have Oklahoma. Delaware, Virginia Tech.
Don't know much about them, I'm going with Vautech.
I'm taking Delaware.
Okay, good.
I like it. I like Delaware. Penn State, Niagara.
Penn State.
Yeah, got to be Penn State. I did the MAC championship last year, had Niagara in that match. I think it's a fun one. I'd love to pick Niagara, but Penn State's just way too big, way too powerful. All right, so second round, you have Mizzou and Arizona.
Picking Arizona.
Okay, I've got you and I and Arizona, and I'm going to go Zona. So we've got equal there. And then Ohio versus Duke.
Duke.
I also have Duke playing at home. LSU, Oklahoma.
LSU.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, I like that. All right, I'll take Oklahoma. I know LSU's got some standout players. Record-setting performance from one of their outside hitters earlier this season. Delaware, Penn State. That's who I have. You have...
Vautech, Penn State. I'm going with Penn State.
Yeah, I got to pick Penn State, too. They're going to get rewarded in this draw here. Arizona and Duke in the matchup of the Sweet 16. That's who I have.
Yeah, I'm going with Zona.
I'll also take Zona. I think Zona's going to vindicate the Pac-10 there. Oklahoma, Penn State. I'm just filling it in right now. Penn State.
Penn State over LSU.
Okay. So, Zona and Penn State.
Penn State goes back to another Final Four.
Really?
Yeah.
They're going to do it?
Yep.
I'm going to pick with my heart here.
You going to go with Dave Rubio?
I'm picking Zona.
Yeah.
I want to see Penn State. This is me just picking. I want to see Penn State go down.
And one of those brackets is going to be with someone is going to sneak in this year.
Because otherwise,
of course, that being said, watch all number one seeds move on.
I've got Florida, Penn State, Stanford, Cal. If I go with Penn State, and I've done nothing with my bracket. I've said that everyone's going to lose, and it's just going to go to formula. I think Zona is going to be in there. So my final four: Arizona, Florida, Stanford, Cal,
Stanford, Nebraska, Penn State, Texas.
Say it again.
I got Texas, Penn State, Stanford, Nebraska.
Wow, we're different. I like it. I like it a lot. All right, well, we'll know next week.
Well, you
got to change the time of your luncheon. You got to get here back for the show.
And next week, we're going to go through the rest and pick our Sweet 16, pick our champions, everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll see where we're at. We'll redo the bracket. We'll start over. It'll be good. Reed, you going to fill out a bracket?
Yeah. I mean, this show has definitely given me a lot to think about, a lot of good content.
Appreciate
and that. I'm going to be filling out my bracket this week.
They're talking about McHaley on Volley Talk. People were listening.
Yeah,
that was one of the most honest messages, guests we've had. That was good.
Yeah,
me and Alex Kelly are kind of on the same wavelength.
Not afraid of an opinion.
I'm going to say this right now. I appreciate all the guests we had today and their opinions, because a lot of times in smaller sports, and I say that because in football, guys are allowed to critique. In the NBA, you see the analysts critiquing. Smaller sports, it's usually frowned upon. People want to pip dirt our sport. I like that women's volleyball is at a point where people have Eric Sullivan. He was making picks. He was deciding. Alex was flat out saying things, you know, as a player. I love that. Grayson came on and said, I thought Hawaii got host. Mick came on, very opinionated. Whether you agree with him or not, you love it. I love it. He should be able to say that.
how long till we have the ADs chiming in talking about another team stinks, a la Ohio State?
And at what point is Sully going to start? I don't know. Is he going to pay for advertising, or is he at least getting his team to listen to the show? That's what I want to know. If he's going to be a weekly fixture, we need something in return.
Has Cook ever listened to the show?
No, Cook's been on. Haven't we had him on?
I don't know if we've had Cook. I'd go back through the archives.
We'll
I know we've had
archives.
Russ Rose. We've had a lot of other big names. I don't know if we've had Cook. We're talking about having Lauren Cook next week. We're working on that. Maybe have her on. Talk about the return of the prodigal daughter.
Yeah, I mean, they get 17,000 people at their games, their matches. How about some of them listen to the show?
How about all of them?
I mean, could we get a banner at the match?
Yeah, you know what?
Something, Sully, I know you're probably still in the queue. You probably still want to say some things. Throw a bone our way.
Yeah, I mean, on ericsullivan.com or your Facebook or something, but just the Net Live all over the place. Put it on.
It can't be a one-way street, man.
That's right. I think we got Brandon Rosenthal calling back in from the Lipscomb
Bears.
The guy
sold his 93 national championship ring that I wanted, okay? And he calls in every week. He owes
it. Hey, you could have had it for like $3 and a pair of shoes.
Take a squirt.
Hey, at least Brandon Rosenthal will provide us with some interns during the summer, you know?
That's right. We have to get
That's
on.
Right, baby.
Who's coming this year? Get some big shoes to fill. All right.
Rose, I don't know. Maybe we can send out Jake Pease, the setter.
All right. Well, okay, it was Rick and Tita. We'll see. My in-laws.
Hey,
you sent
Brandon,
me 22 texts.
We both picked Lipscomb, buddy.
I heard it. I heard it right here. I'm with you guys every week. I mean,
as Barney
never
says,
a shadow of a doubt. Great show.
Go Lady Bears, as Barney says.
I've got you beaten, Dave, crying out loud. You had better make the Sweet 16
yeah.
this year.
No, you get. Oh yeah, you did have us beating Dayton and then losing to the Cardinal.
I had you losing to Dayton. It hurt me to do it, but I want you to upset them.
Hey,
okay.
We're here to shock the world.
All right. So
don't call it a comeback, right?
You've heard some opinions from different people. What are you sounding off about today?
No, I was just going to kind of agree with what Geeter and Reed were saying. It's great to hear opinions. And I think that, you know, it moves the dial, you know, in radio talk, but it also needs to move the NCAA committee. I think, you know, I like what Mick had to say as far as seeding, you know, past 16. I really think the only realistic way to do it is to seed all 64. I realize that's going to change some things as far as, you know, travel costs and things like that. It's just,
they've got the money.
To me, you've worked all year to get to this point, and it seems crazy that we are deciding things because 400 miles is the key number. If you're within 400 miles, you're driving. Outside of 400 miles, you're flying, and the NCAA reimburses you. So, I mean, it's just – it's crazy.
Hey, they've got the cash. There's no doubt. They just – they're choosing not to allocate it to this. I mean, they could go to one or two fewer five-star dinners with the committee or whoever the NCAA higher-ups are, and they could pay for this tournament to actually be seeded through 64. Because I think you have to seed it all. If you're going to go beyond where you're at now, even if you go to 32, it just doesn't make any sense. You have the same argument and the same problem, just on a little bit smaller scale. You got
to
seed
it. Here's one thing to think about when you compare it to the NCAA basketball tournament, because that's the most equal comparison. Remember, each weekend is a two-day deal versus in basketball, it's a four-day deal. You know, there's days in between. So I think it's an easy fix. I mean, you're really still just paying for 2 days. I mean, it's a matter of... Gosh, I'm not even sure off the top of my head, but I'm going to guess, you know, somewhere between $50,000 to $75,000 difference. I mean, I just don't see it as advancing our sport like we should be.
Well, you pay for 2 days, you get 2 days. I know that's your motto. Right?
I've heard that before.
All right. Thanks, Brandon. Good luck this
Great
week.
Great show, you guys. Keep it up. Reed,
thanks, Brandon.
Stay warm, buddy. I know these guys are freezing in SoCal, but... stay warm.
I feel real bad for them.
Dude.
They couldn't wear their rainbow sandals today.
That's right.
I'm still wearing them.
Yeah, they had to put the Uggs on, the official supplier of cold
Dude.
Weather gear for the state
of
California.
Is Barney an Ugg wearer, you
if,
think?
If I
Did you see any, Barney going Uggs?
If I see anyone in my town rolling Uggs, they get kicked out.
I'm going to go get the Uggs on right now.
Dudes, if I see dudes rolling Uggs, they're booted.
I'm going to roll down the tops, too, so it's all fuzzy on top.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to tuck your sweats in the top, aren't you?
I
Right.
All
right.
Only one thing that can combat the cold in Siberia. A mustache. Do it.
November. All right. See you, Rosenthal.
I'm out.
Later.
Hey, you know, Mick Haley referenced the AVCA having some sort of a say in where these seedings go, as well as kind of the press, Volley Mag.
Coaches.
I wouldn't mind seeing the Net Live get a vote here.
I should be on that committee. No
there
question.
There we go.
Who can we send somebody to talk to somebody to see if we can't get some input here?
Since the group is ill-informed, if you're listening, not doing their homework.
Hey, we fit the bill then.
Well, we should send you, Reed.
That's right. I'd be great. I'd be like, where's Loyola Marymount? Okay, they cut their team again. All right.
Well, hey, Reed, you know what? On this show, you ask and people deliver because Eric Sullivan called back. Sullivan.
Eric, what are you doing for us is what I want to know.
First of all, I want to know if I'm the first two-time caller in one episode for the Net Live.
No, I do it every week.
That's right. You're going to have to call at least six times to get Reed's record.
Yeah, but Reader, I haven't been kicked off the first time, so it's by choice.
Nebraska.
And second, are you kidding me? I got my manager right now listening on his deal. We've increased Lincoln viewership by 100%.
We need more people from Nebraska listening. We need your players listening. Does Cook even know we exist?
Yeah, of course. Of course. And I'll tell you what would help. If you guys would create some sweet gear and send it out. A shirt, a hat, I don't know, a cool visor, maybe some Uggs.
That's a national team player for you right there.
Always about food.
Always about the gear. I need some gear.
If you go Net Live Uggs, Barney, I'll wear them.
What if they're used size 14? Is that okay?
Yeah, that's all good. I'll put some socks in the toes.
It'll be like the old days of CAPA where you just buy other equipment.
You guys get 18,000 people at your matches. Next year in your program, I want a shout-out to the Net Live, whether it's some sort of ad or something, for free because of you coming on the show every week. Hey, done deal?
I'm in. Done deal.
Thank you.
I'll warm the team up in a Net Live sweatshirt.
Hey, that could be this week. We got a FedEx that thing out to you.
Mick,
I got my managers going nuts right now because they got a little PR in the back room. They're going berserk.
By the way, Mick stirred some things up on Volley Talk and on our chat board. Our chat board jumped up to like 50 people.
You got to respect Mick for throwing it out there. I don't agree with everything he says, but he'll say what he thinks.
I like him having an opinion. I think that's important, and what Geeter said is true, that it's a sport that matters enough to enough people in the nation that people have differing opinions and are willing to voice them.
Listen, Mick has done a lot in this game. He's guys won national championships. He coaches at USC. It's great that he has opinions. When I see him at club tournaments, we'll talk about everything. Setting, you know, we disagree on setting and stuff like that. You know, what should be called and what shouldn't. It's always a great conversation, and I love that he's not afraid to put himself out there. You have
to
respect that.
Sure. Just like Sullivan every week when he calls us.
Yeah, there are moments when I hate Sullivan. I mean, he just crushes me in front of people about Northridge, and you know what I mean?
I'm never saying a bad thing about Northridge again because you got us going to the Final Four this year. Pepperdine, on the other hand, fair game.
I think Barney,
open season.
Literally, he has you losing in the second or third round. I mean,
I know. It's unbelievable.
Hey, Cam Newton's really good.
he's unbelievable.
No, I've got Nebraska losing to Michigan, but I don't feel great about my Michigan pick.
No, you
pick.
Don't. Not that every expert came on and crushed me for it.
I think I've been sold a bill of goods by Rosen.
He's a great guy, and you fell in love with him.
I think
you
just talked me into it,
guy.
And now I've got him in the Elite Eight, and I'm going to lose the entire pool.
All right, we'll see you guys. I appreciate it. Great show.
Thanks, Ellen. Good chatting with you.
All right, bye.
Hey, another good one. I say that every week, but it's really just been an upward trend for
this
show.
Do you say that when I'm not here?
Yeah, but I say I've delivered another good one instead of we've delivered another good one. Well, hey, next week we'll be back.
What do I do? I mean, it's a CIF luncheon.
You have,
I host it. I have to do both.
Here. I don't know. You're going to have to somehow.
Like, Reed's really
yourself.
Good at calling in and knowing when to get in. When I call in, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm talking, and other guys are talking.
We're going to come up with a schedule. We'll gear it around you that we can talk about this. We may have because we're going to lead with NCAA.
Fine, we'll do a 9 a.m. show.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. We can move it an hour early.
Yeah.
Get rid of the kids.
Hold on.
All right, so we'll do some thoughts into that.
We'll
we want to make
talk.
The show good. We want to make it the best show that it can be for you guys out there. Listen, drop us a line. Lots of people have been doing it. TheNetLive@gmail.com. Also, make sure you become a fan on Facebook, The Net Live on Facebook. Check it out because we have questions there all week. What are you watching? Who are you into? We have great comments. We've had some fun stuff on there. And we want to hear what you guys have to say, not only about what we've talked about,
But let us know what you want to talk about. We want to hear what you guys are interested in, what's happening. You're our soldiers out there finding out, doing it, coaching, playing, participating, taking kids to games, whatever you are. You're a parent, you're a player, you're a coach. Give us some information. Let us know some of the storylines that are happening out there. We're interested in what you have to say about the sport that you love.
I'm just laughing. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the message board. And Loiter just wrote in, is this show about fantasy football? Because my team sucks. Everywhere I go, we talk about fantasy football. I'm with J.A. Adonde last night, the Laker game. Literally the entire fourth quarter, which was getting exciting. Kobe was lighting it up. He's got his computer out, and we're talking about his fantasy football team.
That's all
and
he
my
does
fantasy
on the,
football
on,
team.
It's around the horn. That's
I'm sorry. I just looked, and that was one of the funnier things out there. I mean, it's like,
when
no
are you
going
to be on around the horn? How come Jay Adonde's on there all the time at the Adonde Lounge? How come you're not on there yet?
Because I'm waiting for this show to blow up.
Yeah.
Chris Johnson didn't even get me a point yesterday. I'm sorry.
Seven rushes, 5 yards.
Seven rushes. I blame Jeff Fisher.
Hey, here's my
Give
advice.
Give the guy the ball.
Here's my advice. Bench Andre Johnson next week. He's getting suspended. At least one, maybe two, for going all ghetto.
Can you
on
promise
Finnegan.
Me, and I'll never miss again, 3 to 4 minutes, and I got to run this by Reed. 3 to 4 minutes of fantasy football talk per show.
It has to relate to volleyball somehow.
Fine.
Okay.
Oh, you know I'll always tie it.
You got to tie it in. But it's got to be.
Reed, are you okay with that?
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
I'm surprised Reed responded
Reed
that quickly.
Has,
I thought he was getting a massage again.
Reed has a lot of opinion on other sports, and that I appreciate about him.
He's getting all
he is a
from.
Volley guy, true and true, but he does have knowledge of other sports. Danny, on the other hand.
No. One-dimensional
guy's
man.
Never even...
No.
He doesn't know what fantasy football is.
No. Nothing. The Eagles lost to the Bears. I can't believe that. But that's for another show.
Peyton Hillis had 3 touchdowns, by the way, by the first half yesterday.
Go Chargers.
45 points. The Bolts are back, everybody. They are back. I cannot believe Phillip Rivers and the Chargers put up, what, 34 points, and he had no touchdown passes. Killed my fantasy team, but my heart is happy because the Bolts won.
Reed, what do you think about fantasy football?
I'm into it. Let's try it.
Oh, did you want to go? Hey, it's been another episode of The Net Live. We appreciate you tuning in and get us on iTunes for free. Reed from Russia, Geeter from the home court. It's nice to be here. It was awesome.
Go, Gators!
I'm Kevin. We'll talk to you next week. Tune into the NCAA tournament. It's going to be a good one. The Net Live.
Larry
We're
Fitzgerald
out.
Don't have a good game.